PFW and Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen. Cannonball!
PFW in Progress.
We've been coming to the same party for 12 years now, and in no way is that depressing.
With Fred Kirsch.
I don't know how to put this, but I'm kind of a big deal. People know me. I'm very important. I have many leather-bound books, and my apartment smells of rich mahogany.
Paul Perillo.
I'm all about having fun. You know, get a couple of cocktails in me, start a fire in someone's kitchen, maybe go to SeaWorld, take my pants off. Anyway, I become kind of famous for my signature catchphrase.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
And Andy. And Andy?
The only way to bag a classy lady is to give her two tickets to the gun show and see if she likes the goods.
Just doing my workout. It's a deep burn. So deep.
Andy Hart.
I'm the stylish one of the group.
I know what you're asking yourself, and the answer is yes. I have a nickname for my penis. It's called the Octagon. But I also nicknamed my testes. My left one is
Quinn.
And my right one,
Mendenhall.
You ladies play your cards right, you just might get to meet the whole gang.
Eric Scalavino.
Veronica and I are trying this new fad called jogging. I believe it's jogging or yogging. It might be a soft J.
For now, anyway.
You are pathetic. This has to be the feeblest pickup attempt that I have ever encountered. You have a massive erection.
Really? Yes, I do. I'm sorry. It's the pleats.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Gonna find my baby, gonna hold her tight, gonna grab some afternoon delight.
Skyrockets in flight.
Woo!
Afternoon delight.
Whoop!
Afternoon delight.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It is Wednesday here at Gillette Stadium. A very foggy day here in Foxborough, Mass. From the time we woke up this morning till, you know, even now, it's dark out and not as foggy as it was this morning, but still, you know, low clouds on the ground. And so the Patriots will be outside practicing today, doing a lot of film work, a lot of prep for Andrew Luck and the Colts, and all the talk about going indoors, you know, does it help a team or hurt a team? And you know, Brady had his press conference today. It was interesting, things he had to say about the weather, about how the Patriots like to use weather as a home field advantage. But, you know, it's always nice to go inside, you know, where you're unaffected by weather. So that's on Patriots.com. That happened around 10 o'clock this morning. So I would say go check that out when you get a chance. The boys will be here any moment. They were serving food at noon, so I gave them strict orders to make sure they brought me food before they got here. So that's where they are. Eric was at practice yesterday. We talked about the guys who weren't there. Not a lot. Easley was not seen or at practice, and a couple other guys, of course, Chandler Jones. But there was no practice report yesterday because it was Tuesday, and it's kind of an extra day of practice. They're not required to issue a report. That'll happen today around 4:30 when the Patriots and the Colts will issue their first practice report for this week coming up. So we'll see what's going on there. But, of course, Eric will be at practice, and he'll tell us when he gets here who he saw and didn't see. So we'll have that coming up. Other than that, you know, things are pretty quiet, just getting ready for the Colts. And, I think the Patriots, even though they're underdogs, I think they've got a great shot in winning this game. I'm not that concerned about the Colts defense, although I think they're a little bit better than people are making them out to be. But what I'm saying is I have a lot of confidence in the Patriots offense, the way it's playing right now. With this break, you know, you kind of wish that they could have gone right into the next game because of the role that they're on, but I think they're going to figure out how to keep that momentum. And as long as Gronk is healthy, this offense is going to roll. So I look at a good game. I look at a game where a lot of points are scored. But I think the Patriots will be the team that scores them first, and I think they're going to play from a lead. Excuse me. So really excited about that. All right, webradio at patriots.com is the email address, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline, 855-PATS-500, toll-free. If you were looking for us last night on the website or on the app and you wanted to listen, there was a glitch. Akamai, which is the content delivery network that we use for on-demand programming, I guess they had some type of issue last night. It got cleared up at around, I'd say 8:15 p.m. Eastern time. So if you did have a problem listening to us last night on demand, apologize for that. But it's all cleared up now, and you can take in yesterday's show. So, you know, we're always on top of it. Thank you for the Twitter people on Twitter who let us know about it, and we were right on it and got to the bottom of it, and Akamai fixed it. So all good there. All right, while we wait for the guys to get here, why don't we get to some of the emails. The first one comes from Pat in Agawam, Mass. I had a couple questions for you today. Last night I was flipping through the channels, and there was a topic on CNN&E questioning if Andrew Luck is overrated. My answer at this point in his career would be yes. Don't get me wrong, he's tough, a freak athlete for his position, and has a rocket arm. But to me, he's not a great decision maker and puts too much faith into his arm, a la Drew Bledsoe. I've heard people compare him to Peyton Manning and Brady. To me, he's more Brett Favre and Eli Manning. He makes great throws, but he also has a knack for throwing boneheaded picks. What do you guys think? I actually didn't listen to anyone's point because their opinions mean about as much to me as Eric's sex life to the entire female population. Oh, wow, that's not nice. Number two, as we saw last week with Kyle Arrington being a big part of the game plan against the Broncos because he matches up well with Welker, do we see something similar this week with Dennard, seeing how he's had good success against Luck, albeit in two games? Thanks for the read, and I'll have to buy you all lunch again soon before the Twins come, and I'm unable to. Peace out, homie. Well, congratulations on the upcoming birth of your twins. We'll take a lunch anytime. First on Luck, though, I don't think he's overrated. I think people look at what he's going to be, though, when they talk about Luck. They see what he's going to be. And, you know, to me, that's the best quarterback in the NFL once Manning retires and Brady retires. And Aaron Rodgers gets a little older. I think that's what people are talking about when they talk about Luck, that he is going to be the best. Does he make, you know, a lot of picks or more than you would want? Sure. But I think he has supreme confidence. And I think that as he grows and the offense grows with him, you're going to see those picks decrease. But I don't think he's overrated. But I do think in part of people's analysis of Luck, they look at his future with the league. Guys are here with the lunch. That's great. Wow, Paul. Good. What about sides? Did you get any chips or anything like that? No?
I don't believe there were any sides.
Oh, okay.
Other than the little thing of peppers or whatever Paul stole.
Oh, there you go. Question someone had is, do you think Andrew Luck is a little overrated at this point in his career?
No. Because I don't think people quite consider him Brady, Manning, Rodgers, because he doesn't have a Super Bowl ring, doesn't have that long playoff run. But other than that, I think he's phenomenal, and he's in whatever that tier below the Super Bowl winning Hall of Fame talents is.
Yeah, and just remember, even with his 9 interceptions, I think it is, they still have the leading offense in the league.
He has the most points. He has the most yards. I didn't know this, but Brady said that's the most yards at this point in
history.
A season.
Yeah,
so, history. Yeah, I mean,
he's on pace to break.
And he has, you know, yeah. I said this in the TV show yesterday, the numbers are ridiculous the way he has spread it out. He has like 9 guys who have a catch of 20 or more yards, 7 guys with 20 or more receptions. You know, he has all these different running backs, tight ends, wide receivers that he spreads the ball to. In a way, the talent is probably not as good. Well, it isn't as good. The high-end talent is what Manning deals with. But it's actually a little bit more deep and diverse with guys like Bradshaw and Allen and Fleener and the numbers that he can throw at you in terms of the offense. So I think he's phenomenal. And I think he adds the size and athleticism that is a little Ben Roethlisberger, Cam Newton-esque.
Yeah.
And
he's hard to bring down.
You combine
fast.
That with the pocket passer that is Brady and Manning-esque, and you're right. He's Aaron Rodgers is the comp, I think, because he's an athletic but ridiculously accurate passer. As soon as Luck brings that interception number down a little bit, it's over. He's the prototype of the quarterback.
The other question Pat from Agawam had was about Dennard. He said that, you know, Arrington did well matching up with Welker last week. Dennard has had a good history in games against Luck. Do we think we'll see Dennard? I don't know. I don't know where Dennard is, to be honest with you. You know?
He's in the locker room.
It's kind of a mystery.
And he seems just
normal.
Like there's nothing to see here. I don't know what the deal is with him. The underrated, overrated thing, I think, is always tricky because you don't know exactly who's doing the rating and, you know, compared to who or, you know, what do you think of somebody? Like, if you think that Andrew Luck is the best quarterback in football right now, then he's overrated. If you think, you know, he's going to be one of the best, then I think then you're probably not overrating him. I think he's a little underrated. I think people focus too much on the turnovers. I read something in the Boston Globe today by Chris Gasper, another one of your alums, Fred, who's gone on to bigger and better things. Chris Gasper with the Boston Globe. He said until he, you know, the 11 turnovers, he has 9 interceptions and 2 fumbles, and until that, I said yesterday, that doesn't bother me a bit.
It's kind of like Barry Sanders
look at
with
the amount of plays
the runs
that he
for
makes.
Loss. I mean, so what? You know?
Look at the amount of plays he makes. And, and look at, you know, and Andy sort of detailed it. You talk about a guy who just won games for his team for 2 years. Now they're starting to put, you know, semblance of an offense around him, and you're seeing how, you know, how scary they can be. But you're telling me that a rookie came into a 2-14 team and was able to get it to the playoffs, and you weren't impressed by that? You know, you didn't look at that and say, wow, I mean, this kid is special. I mean, I think he's almost a little underrated. I think he's going to be great, but I think people still fixate too much on the mistakes that he makes. And, I mean, I've heard people say Russell Wilson is better than Andrew Luck, and I'm like, I can't imagine how many games that Andrew Luck would win if he had Seattle.
Right. Yep.
I think Russell Wilson's really good too.
I think he's a good player, but I don't think it's even close.
I've said that from the beginning. I thought it was so ridiculous that people lumped RG3, Russell Wilson, and Andrew Luck together. Two of them had great running games immediately. What's his name? The guy in Washington rushed for 1,500 yards, Morris. And Wilson had a defense, a running game, had everything. Andrew Luck took a winless team with limited talent and immediately made it ridiculously better. It was all on him. He was the centerpiece, not a complimentary ride anybody's coattails. He was the guy with the coat on.
Yeah. Toby from New York, I have to admit, Andrew Luck is my favorite non-Patriot player in the league. Not only do I love the way he plays, I love his leadership skills. He takes his hits and throws his interceptions, but is always bouncing back up, ready to take the next play. Compare that to the likes of RG3, you just mentioned him, Newton and Cutler, who've collectively accomplished nothing, yet get so much attention. In actuality, those three are very annoying to watch. Their inability to make decisions usually results in them being sacked an insane amount of times. Then they get up with this smug, so I'm much better than everybody look on their face, only to make more stupid decisions. They should take a page out of Andrew Luck's book and actually learn how to play quarterback in the NFL instead of focusing on commercials.
Well, and I think that's a little unfair to them. He comes from an NFL family with his father, and his upbringing clearly has some impact on how he handles himself as a Stanford quarterback, as a number one pick, all of that. And I think it's hard to judge somebody. I mean, you can criticize them, but it's not necessarily fair to say they should be Andrew Luck because they came a total different road to get to where they are today. But I do agree he is ridiculously likable. I don't know how anyone could not like Andrew Luck. You don't have to root for him. I mean, he can be an opponent that you root for failure against your team. But if you were going to say, why? Here's the reason I hate Andrew Luck. Other than the stupid beard, the visual.
The neck beard. Yeah.
Other than that, what else you got?
He's just so damn goofy.
Right.
I can't stand how goofy he is.
But you can't hate goofy.
But, I mean, you talk about a guy like Brady who never says the wrong thing. Never says the wrong thing. It's always, you know, I got to do this, and I got to do this better, and that better, and I cost us this, and you know that's not true.
But even beyond the Brady, I mean, Brady has a little bit of that air of the Giselle globe-trotting playboy GQ. Luck doesn't have that. He's one of the guys. You know, he literally comes off as one of the guys. I think Brady works to be one of the guys at this point in his life. And Luck may change. He certainly doesn't seem like he's going to change. Right. But
one of the best things on the internet and Twitter, I've seen it. It's a meme that has to do with Andrew Luck. And after games, he's in the Civil War uniform, an old picture, and it's his face. And it's like, "Dear Mildred, we fought a good fight. We lost many men, but, you know, I miss you dearly." You know, and he has that face that if you put him in the Civil War, he looks like he's from the
1800s. It's the beard, too.
Yeah. Eric, put Eric's mic, please.
It's the beard that he has, too, because it grows in like, those weird patches.
Yeah.
And he doesn't have the mustache, really.
Right.
So he looks like he has those big sideburns.
It's so funny.
Chops.
People know. You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah. I've seen that.
Yeah. All right, let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline. Marcel is in Sweden. Hey, Marcel.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey.
Addy, I was going to say, did you get Gronk's dog strap yet? Because you're jacking it so hard, it's about to fall off.
What?
Didn't understand a word you said.
Did we get Gronk's what?
Okay. Gronk's jock strap. Have you got it yet, Andy?
Oh, have we got it off? Oh, so you're not saying that the praise of Gronk is warranted? Is that what you're saying?
It's warranted, but, I mean, it's pretty much like a one-man show, and it's true for offense at times, but there's other parts, too. Like, I think the interior offensive line has gotten way too little credit.
Oh, boy.
What they've done the last couple of weeks.
No, but that's...
Well, you're right, Ben. I am so much on Gronk's jock, then, because if you want to compare the line to Gronk and their value...
But that's what Andy does. He likes to adopt these guys like he invented them, so people will associate him. Oh, Andy's the guy that told me Gronk's good.
Who was the first person who told you the Patriots should draft Gronk?
See, exactly.
Who?
This is what I'm talking about.
You answer it. Who?
This is exactly what I'm talking about.
Who?
You were, Andy.
Teddy Bruschi.
You told me.
No, actually, he wasn't. So stop. Stop lying.
Yeah.
Teddy Bruschi.
Your nose is growing to match your shoulders.
Teddy Bruschi came out and said he really liked Gronkowski.
Yeah. Okay.
He did. At that event.
Okay, I'll
which was about 2 months after I told you to draft
a lot,
him.
A lot of people like, but you did. You liked
Thank you.
You hit,
Thank
on,
you.
You hit on one.
Thank you.
You hit on one. But that's what Andy does. So, you know, it's all about.
Sees talent and asks Bill to draft it.
Right.
Because if you remember, who else did I want him to draft that year? I wanted him to draft two tight ends.
Vernon Golston?
No, that was a different year.
Oh, okay.
Right. Who else?
You
did
run
I
away from those.
Who, no, I actually don't. I own them. I own them. I've had mistakes. Not as many as Bill, but I've had mistakes.
Okay.
Okay. So, okay, you hit one, but that doesn't mean you're like, you're not Mel Kiper Jr.
I'm better than Kiper. I'm better than Kiper. There's no doubt about that. My track record's better than Kiper. And the answer to the
Your
question.
Track record.
The answer to the question I just asked was Jimmy Graham. I thought the Patriots should draft Rob Gronkowski and Jimmy Graham, and had they'd have the greatest offense in the history of offense.
Todd.
I mean, your track record of drafting is as good as running the mile.
Can we get rid of him? His phone blows.
Yeah. Well,
my track record is better than your phone.
There's a lot of turbulence in the Black Sea right now, so he's having a little trouble.
Black Sea?
Yeah. Isn't that where near Sweden?
No.
I thought you said Switzerland.
No, he's in Sweden.
Oh, Sweden.
Either way, it's not the Black Sea, is it?
Yeah.
No.
Black Sea's up there.
Get your geography right.
Yeah.
Well, what's the sea near you?
The Eastern Sea.
I'm going to look this up in a map.
Russia.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Marcel. Let's go to Corey in Wisconsin. Hey, Corey.
Hey, guys. I was listening to the show shortly after I got off the phone yesterday, and I just wanted to inform you guys that I'm actually 17. I'm finishing high school.
You sound older.
Okay.
Yeah,
you do. You sound a little more mature than that.
So. All right.
Yeah,
is that all you wanted to say? Give us a birthday update?
Yeah, I just wanted to clarify that I'm not 40. I'm actually 17.
Well, I didn't think you were 40. I thought you were relatively young, early college, late high school.
That was Kevin.
Now, you do have a mother and a stepmother, correct?
Yes.
Is your stepmother hot?
My stepmother, she's 64, so no.
Oh.
Not in my opinion.
Because Fred claims that there are certain families where stepsons are banging their stepmother.
On those films
Indeed
that you can get
are.
For
not this one.
Okay. we just wanted to clarify.
That's fine. Okay.
Now, just to clarify, right, only because she's not good looking enough.
I just thought it was funny.
Now, if she weren't so old, would you be interested?
Never mind.
That's a yes, thing, apparently. You're putting the kid in a really awful
right,
situation.
So we've established you're 17, Corey. Call us next week and tell us, you know, like, what color your hair is and what color eyes you have.
Fred is just mean.
Thanks, Corey. Thanks, Corey. VIP stripper says the Baltic Sea. That's probably what I was thinking about, the Baltic Sea. That's up there, right? Eric, you?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
By the way, I have a segment for the off season that I think we should play along these lines. Given that my son brings home homework that sometimes I don't really have any idea what it is, we could play Is Eric Smarter Than a Second Grader? And I will take something from that week's homework and ask you what it is. Like, do you know what a waning gibbous is?
Oh, no. Do you?
I don't.
I've heard that term before.
Andy, there's no way he'd be able to do the math the way they want it done.
Oh, yeah, no.
A waning gibbous
is one of the stages of the moon. One of the crescent, like one is a crescent and one is a gibbous. I don't know if crescent gibbous, starts the phase
actually,
and gibbous ends it.
Gibbous is what it looks like it's full, but it's not actually full.
Yeah, something like that. But it's a waning gibbous. And I said, what the hell is that? Right? I mean,
so it gibbous and then it takes away.
It takes away.
Good,
well
Paul.
Done, Paul.
Good.
It looks like it's full.
Right.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Fred. That wasn't up to you.
Only Fred can talk about, you know, gangbangs.
Only Fred can make ridiculously lame jokes.
Not everybody was happy with our discussion of gangbangs yesterday.
Not everybody? No.
I have to admit, I was happy to not be a part of that.
Debbie Bright, our friend from Tennessee, Giselle supporter.
Whatever.
You know, she emailed me off air because she said Fred never reads emails on air anymore, so she knew it wouldn't get read if she sent it to the regular email box. And I told her we are striving. I think we might need to have a segment.
Just emails?
Focus, you know, what, you know, some half hour, whether it's the second half hour, third half, whatever. Because people are getting a little annoyed that we're too caller-driven, and our roots are in email. That's where our roots are.
Okay.
Right?
All right. Here's another email. Nick from Bristol, UK. Hypothetical
it's near
question.
The Pacific Ocean, right?
Baltic Sea. I have many people emailing in right now. It is the Baltic Sea.
So you were wrong?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so was the guy who said,
right.
I think it's the
he
East
did.
Sea.
He took
the
a
Eastern
shot at Fred, and then
I knew
goes,
that
East
wasn't
sea.
It.
And I think he said, it's little or something. He had like a little throwaway.
Yeah, I knew it wasn't the Eastern
there's
Sea.
There's the North Sea, which is in
the right, north.
That general area, but there's no East
yeah, the
Sea.
The Baltic is what I was thinking of, I think. Nick from Bristol, UK, this is a hypothetical question. If you're Bill Belichick and it's week 16 and you've safely secured a bye in the first round of the playoffs, would you rest Rob Gronkowski? Given how much he means to our offense and what happened to Wes Welker, note, Wes is an elite, but his loss impacted our chances that year. Would you rest him?
Yes, I would.
Mm-hmm. You would?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I wanted to rest him for the, you know, all right. 17 weeks.
Right.
That was a good preemptive strike by you because you know he was getting ready.
Well, we discussed earlier that I might do a commentary this week.
Oh.
Apologizing, I was wrong. You know, since Gronk is single-handedly yes myself,
I would rest him, Fred. If they had the bye locked up or the first seed locked up, nothing to gain. Like, literally nothing to gain, then I would rest them.
And Fred doesn't agree
with
the premise,
12?
By the way. You don't agree with the premise that Welker affected that postseason game because what's he got, 4 touchdowns?
Well, I thought that he, you know, the Patriots would be able to overcome it, but they weren't.
What about?
Because I guess Welker's better than we thought.
I would not.
We can all agree.
TB12?
No.
I mean, and Bill won't. It's what he does. If you get the bye, he generally
plays.
Oh,
I wouldn't play Brady too much either. I mean, I would want to play. Just
I would
to...
want to give Jimmy G some valuable in-game reps. If the game means nothing, why not give? I mean, it's like a preseason game at that point. Why not give the rookies some experience?
Yeah, it's like an NFC game
to me.
According to Al and Belichick,
I look at Gronk and Brady the same at this point.
I missed a lot yesterday.
If I'm going to rest Brady, there's no reason to have Gronk in there.
And oh,
if,
yeah.
I'm gonna, what about and if I'm going to rest Gronk, there's no reason to have Brady.
Exactly.
Listen, I want to rest.
I don't necessarily. I think those are not the same.
No, they're not the same.
I don't have Gronk on the field if Brady's not on the field. I agree with that. I think Brady can build relationships with anybody. Tim Wright, some working reps. I think he can. Your offense and the guys catching balls from Brady.
That's what practice is for.
Because that's the same.
That's not the same.
Joe in Vermont, Joe from Vermont in Kansas City, talking about gangbangs and swamp ass has got to be among the best moments of the show.
I kind of thought we'd moved on.
We need Kevin to make a clip for post commercials. You don't find that kind of stuff on Felger and Maz, and we wonder why the Big Bob's Furniture guys get made fun of during games. And P.S., I hear HGH is correlated to tumor growth, so maybe that's something to think about, Fred. I don't take HGH.
Well, but you're on the record as saying you would.
Plus, I would think that if
I think I would under a doctor's supervision.
You saw that doctor on 60 Minutes or something?
Said it's, he would prescribe it to anyone.
But I would,
it's expensive, right? It's like $1,200 a pop.
Yeah, I can't do that.
Without having any of the information, but wouldn't you be if you had a tumor and you were taking HGH, wouldn't that?
Well, that's my whole theory.
Yeah.
When you take all that stuff, that's why all that's why your guy got
whatever is good accelerates and whatever is bad accelerates.
Armstrong would have got nut cancer at some point. He got it quicker because he expedited the growth of it.
Yeah. Unless it also speeds up the growth of good cells and you can combat it. I don't know. I don't know. Let's see. Kyle writes in, congratulations. And Kyle's from Korea, by the way. Congratulations to Stephen Gostkowski and his upcoming Patriots record.
He's close. He's close to
second place.
Yeah, he's close to surpassing Gino Cappelletti for second place all-time team scoring.
What?
So not a record.
No, but they'll announce it.
No, I know, but it's not a record.
And this is what happens. But exactly. What happens is people get confused when they hear constant announcements about moving into sixth place. Fourth place. Mm.
Paul's referring to what happens in the press box.
No, but
I don't think the guy from Korea actually hears that.
No. It's,
although it is pretty loud in that press box. So.
And he does talk often enough to be heard in Korea. I mean, you have to say that.
I wonder, would he have to have a Vinatieri-esque moment in the big game to get into the Hall of Fame? Yes, he would.
Because right now he's just a modern-day good kicker.
He's just a very good kicker, yeah.
And but those two, they should be meeting in a battle of perfect kickers this week. Danny Aiken screwed that up with that bad snap, so Gostkowski's, I think, 24 of 25.
Jeez,
but Vinatieri hasn't missed,
right.
And they're the only two kickers in the NFL with 20 or more field goals. Right. This should be like a big kicker battle, and Aiken screwed up the perfection.
Also, it's still a big kicker battle.
It is, but it would have been nice if they were a perfect, whatever, 45 for 45.
And also, Kyle, Kevin wants you to send him an address because he wants to send a care package from Korea.
Nice.
Oh.
What do they have in Korea that I'd be interested in?
All right.
Electronics?
They're big on and cars.
Samsung
Hyundai is a Korean car, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I would take a Hyundai. Okay. You're going to mail off
that. You're going to send a care package?
Probably just be easier if he just bought me one here at a dealership.
Freddie, would you like a practice update?
Sure. Oh, yes. Of course.
We talked yesterday about Brandon LaFell not being there. He was there today.
How's his throat?
Well, however, as they were doing, we only got to see stretching, by the way, no drills today.
Come on, Bill.
As they were doing their sideline to sideline half speed running, LaFell had to go to see the trainers to get his left ankle redone.
Oh, so the report is he missed it yesterday due to strep throat, but Eric continuing to observe some left ankle questions.
Yes, attention being paid to the ankles of Brandon LaFell. But he was there.
Throat wrapped.
No, it was not.
Is he hoarse?
They were in the bubble.
As Tom Brady said.
As Tom Brady updated us this morning that
they won't be having their weekly weather report meetings that he says they have almost on a weekly basis.
Didn't you find that funny, Fred? Did you hear about that in Brady's presser today?
About the weather,
the weekly weather meetings.
Yeah.
So now what do they discuss in that if Bill ignores the weather forecast?
Yes.
No, but hold on. You said they're in the bubble?
They were in the bubble today,
It's funny because I saw them putting up the screens on the bowl field.
That's for the event that I'm emceeing.
Oh.
He's kind
they
of
they need
big
screens
deal.
For that?
What kind of screens?
Andy's appearance.
Like, you know, so you can't see in if you're coming out through the tunnel. You know how they put that up when they have walkthroughs?
I've never seen that. No.
Oh.
I haven't. But.
They put this where the fence is there. They put these screens up so when you're walking in and out of the tunnel, you can't.
You're talking about the blue gate. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Oh,
yeah.
I've seen that.
They were just putting them up. I assume that they were going to
I think because Andy's there and they don't want a flash mob.
Maybe.
Can't wait till I go today.
Yeah.
Consider myself.
I told him I'd give him $10 if he.
The luckiest man.
Lou Gehrig.
But so that was good news with LaFell being back. Bad news, though, Dominique Easley continues to be out.
And there was this report of the crutches by his locker
In his locker yesterday. But he walked through the locker room.
Right. So
unaided by
saying
crutches.
It could be a joke.
Well, knowing him.
Ruse.
Yeah. I mean.
A joke or a.
Mike Reese posed that it could be a joke?
Yeah.
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 But just a joke or kind of like a package of diapers?
A parcel shot.
Yeah. Take your diapers off. Get rid of the crutch and let's play some football.
Yeah. Are you just going to be hurt all the time or are you going to be available to help us contribute?
You did draft me with a torn ACL. Whose fault is that?
Which, apparently he wasn't available today, which...
It's 2 days.
2 days in a row. Yeah. And we don't know how much he missed last week.
Correct.
In the one time we saw him getting medical attention in the one practice last week.
But still no Silver Salinga?
Still no Salinga and still no Chandler Jones.
All right.
So Salinga is not healthy because he should be practicing.
He should be at least out. I think somebody saw him in the locker room yesterday.
Yes. I actually saw him, I think, last week.
Oh, you did?
I believe so.
Me and Andy were talking about it, but we didn't know for sure if it was him.
But he's not been on the field so far, and he's eligible to be back on the field.
Yeah,
practicing.
You could practice in 6 weeks, return in eight. So, yeah, he could practice. That was a good fake punt, Andy. I see your eyes lighting up.
Stinkman in Florida writes, and caller brought up something that I've been thinking about. Seems that, in general, players that are injured early seem to be the ones that are injured often, a.k.a. injury-prone. Of course, there are exceptions to everything, but it really seems like Belichick is discounting injury history more lately, and we have gotten burned with the likes of that cornerback from Virginia Tech, amongst others. Easily really bugs me. If it were you guys, given what you know now, who would you have picked in the draft instead of Easley?
I would have taken Easley. I'm not ready to give up on that.
I've not been overly impressed with Easley.
Yeah, no, he's done nothing. You're absolutely right not to be impressed. He hasn't done a thing. I still think he's a good player, and I'm going to wait for him to get healthy. Yeah, listen, I could be wrong. You know, I mean, maybe he's Rossi Dowling, who I think the emailer was referring to with the Virginia Tech guy.
Yeah. Yes.
Just Virginia. He never got healthy. He never showed anything at the NFL level. He was never healthy for a long enough stretch to do anything, and maybe that's Easley, but I don't know. I still like what I see there in terms of his ability. He just needs to get on the field.
And Max from Norway writes in, the Swede that called the sea near Sweden the Eastern Sea is called the Eastern Sea in his native language. However, in English, the sea is called the Baltic Sea. So you guys are correct. Keep up the good work. So no matter what the topic is,
so everybody
from all over the world.
That means
everybody
he was right too.
Yeah, everybody was right.
So we shouldn't mock it. Well, Fred was wrong. He started with the Black Sea.
Right. Oh, well, yeah, but I mean...
Right. But yeah,
Fred,
Marcel was right.
I knew
apparently.
What Fred was saying.
Yeah, there it's considered.
What's his language?
Swedish.
Swedish.
Yeah. Oh, I would assume if he's from Sweden.
What does Swedish sound like?
It's you trying to send him up there?
I'm from Sweden.
Like I really don't know what all the examples I have are joke examples or what I think are joke examples. I don't know.
No, but there's a lot of talk like these.
Yeah, but that sounds...
Eric just spit food out.
But that just sounds like English said in a funny voice.
Well, yeah, it's a Swedish accent. It's not Swedish.
So there isn't... But he said in his language it's called the Eastern Sea. That's a different word from Baltic.
No, I
it's
know.
It's not like...
They must have but they have a different language.
Eastern.
Yes.
There's a lot of really long words, too.
I mean, there's a lot of things
like
that are
Reykjavik?
Different.
Yeah.
And the O's with the umlauts
on top.
Yeah,
the little stuff.
And they're all called Magnus von Magnus.
Can I get your...
Paul wants to talk football. Stop screwing
No, I don't really necessarily want to get into anything. But did you guys catch the Rand University?
Oh, yeah.
That sucked.
Yeah, was unimpressed.
Horrific.
Fred?
No, I've heard that
he's sticking with. He's never seen a 30 for 30.
I haven't.
Oh, I forgot. All right, so
he's pulling a Paul and he's going down with that ship.
I really haven't, but
I didn't like it that much. I didn't think it sucked. Like
I
you
thought
guys
it sucked.
Evidently, did.
The worst I've seen in the series.
I missed a little of it too.
I don't know. If
I missed the beginning, and that's the only part that I really wanted to see.
The beginning, all you missed. What did you miss? Like the first 5 minutes or so?
No, it was more like 20. Oh, so I almost it's almost half of it. It was an hour.
Yeah, they started off going, explaining what Rand is.
Yeah,
and the fact that it's not a town, that it's unincorporated, that it's this really poor area. A lot of good athletes come out of this community, but none of them ever reach the big time. There's always something that derails them. And then they start introducing you to the three main characters. There's Moss and his two friends, Bobby Howard, who ended up playing for the Bears for a few years.
Yeah, and the baseball guy.
And the other kid,
nothing.
Yeah, whose dad was the coach. And they start off with the coach, actually, too. Like, he coached them in every sport that they played, track, baseball, football, all the things they were involved in. So it kind of gives you a little bit of a background into the community a little bit.
So why did you guys not like it?
I just didn't think – well, for one, it didn't offer anything that we didn't already know about Moss. And it kind of sort of glossed over all of his indiscretions as – being that he was misunderstood.
Tried to paint him as a sympathetic figure that I don't think deserves the sympathy.
Well, I would say this.
It seemed like he was an executive producer, too.
Although they did that with Bosworth, too. This. They tried to make him seem like
he was
the
better,
sympathetic
at least.
Figure.
From the part that I saw, I came away from it thinking that, and I already felt like, to Eric's point, stuff that I already knew, I already felt like he sort of got railroaded a little bit with his indiscretion as a youth. But I don't think that he comes across as a sympathetic figure. I think a lot of people were probably going into that. I was going into that thinking, I'm probably going to like Randy Moss more after I see this.
And you didn't.
And I didn't. I think he comes off as really arrogant, really kind of standoffish. And I understand why he is the way he is based on his upbringing and whatnot. He didn't trust anybody, and I understand why. But... you know, at the same time, I thought that he came off kind of like an a-hole.
Because he kind of is.
And that's the impression I had of him during our brief time when he was here. Because we didn't get a chance, and I say brief time even though it was like 3 years, we didn't get a chance to talk to him ever.
Right.
Ever.
Very rarely.
Very rarely.
Three questions.
Yeah.
And I used to think he got railroaded more than I now think he got railroaded after watching the thing.
Yeah.
You know, the
see, that's
the
what
way
I
he talks about the event.
Yeah.
The kid comes to him and says, "Watch my back. I'm taking care of this kid who I hate N-words or whatever
right.
he wrote."
Yeah.
It was a black-white issue, which is a major issue in that DuPont High School.
Yeah. There were only like 2%.
And then Randy goes, you know, all I did was,
I stomped on his neck twice.
Stomped on his neck twice
after
he was down. Well, to me, you're more despicable than the other kid. The other kid faced up with him and kicked his ass. You waited for him to be down and then kicked a man who was down. Right. I think you deserve to be arrested for assault.
That's like the BC kid in the point-shaving scandal who followed himself out of the game
yes.
on purpose.
And thinks he didn't,
and thinks he didn't
right.
do anything.
Right. And then
no impropriety here.
And then he's on probation. And one of the rules is you can't do drugs.
Yeah.
And
so
he comes
back
smokes
a joint.
For a joint?
Yeah.
No. The rule said you can't smoke. So you're not getting railroaded. You're an a-hole who thinks you can get by because you're the best there is. Well, guess what? You're just an a-hole, and you still got by.
All right.
I mean, it was worth seeing.
Worth seeing. I want to see the beginning. I want to see that part about the altercation with the kid. And that stuff. Because that's the thing. That's the only thing I don't know
the
details
of. They had some local news footage of at the time.
Oh yeah, it was amazing.
It was amazing. They have all of it in that area.
Huh? Some sick highlights too, huh?
Very sick highlights. Yeah. That was my favorite part. I was telling Andy was seeing all of the footage of him as a high school player, and then they had a couple of snapshots and brief videos of him at Florida State.
Florida State, I obviously
that
remember.
I saw some of the
when
Florida
he was
State
torching.
Stuff. That's when I started.
He was
watching.
Playing scout team offense
and
was
killing
torching
everybody.
Even the 40
there.
Time. Did you see the 40 where the guy was ahead of him, like? At the 10,
yeah,
and then Moss,
and
just,
the Moss
blows
just by goes
him
right by
to
him.
Run a 4.25, like
second fastest.
The guy had a much
history.
Better start than Randy Moss, but about three strides later,
Terrell
he blew
Buckley
by
was
him.
In one of those shots with him. Was it? Was it not?
Well, that's the other thing. You know who was in all the shots was Jason Williams, and there was like no reference to him. Like they showed all these old basketball team photos.
They did.
Yeah.
They did reference. Yeah, they said because they said and that Jason Williams, who ended up becoming an NBA player, he was one of the rare. Players.
No, I know that, but like, I don't know. I just felt like that was a little under. I would have liked to have heard from him more, or.
Well, maybe he didn't want to do it.
Maybe. I came away, the sympathetic figure is the guy who.
The coach
got one shot because he wasn't that good, smoked weed, got kicked out, and is now crying on a.
He actually looked like he was. It hit him when he was doing the interview.
Right.
That.
My life's
over.
I could have been something.
I could have been something good.
But I thought. And Moss, like.
Because that kid was drafted. I don't know if you saw that part. He was drafted by the
Brewers.
Oh yeah, seventh round. That's pretty
high.
He
was a really good baseball player.
Yeah. But like,
I didn't know anything about him.
I would have thought more of Moss as a redemption story or a railroad story early in his life, if you hadn't kept being an a-hole all along the way. You did things, much like the youthful indiscretions you did when you were in high school, except right. when you do them when you're 25 and 30 and 35, that's who you are.
Oh, and the other aspect of the film that I liked was the fact that Moss and the other kid admitted it. Bobby Howard was this straight-laced, clean-cut kid that they always were trying to get to go with them and get in trouble. And,
right.
and they were like, man, he never swore. He never did anything wrong. He always went to class.
Right.
And they're like, and he ended up becoming, you know, he played pro for like 3 years, I yeah. think they said, but now he, and now he's a coach. But it was just funny, like, how he was so close with those guys, and they were so completely different from him.
Right.
Yeah, I also like the story that when he was really upset, I think at this point he was at Marshall, and he sort of wanted to cut all ties with West Virginia and Rand
yeah.
and all that. And he had the newspaper story and ripped him, and his mother said, yeah. you know, listen, you're not the only one in the state with the last
name.
She
had some good lines.
I thought that was yeah. great.
Good
from
lines
him.
Through him if yeah. they're real. But the, you know, NCAA gives you five visits.
He's
I'm giving you three.
But
mama, the end, I'm giving you three.
So maybe that's where he got the three questions from.
Maybe. And then I needed to ask a question. He was talking about, it might have been at Marshall, I don't know, but he said, you know, now they tell you to catch the ball with your hands. Back
oh, yeah.
in my day, they told me don't let it hit the ground.
Right. And I thought like, that was a little weird.
I don't really, Randy, what does that even mean?
They've always told you to catch with your hands.
I thought. I mean, yes, it's better to catch it with your body than let it hit the ground. But
you always have to start with the hands.
It was a very strange comment that I felt like I needed more explanation.
Especially
of.
For a guy who was so good at catching it with his hands.
And all the highlights at Marshall are, you know, Pennington throwing it up and him maybe like reaching over again.
Maybe what he meant was it doesn't matter how you catch it as long as it doesn't hit the ground.
He didn't say it properly.
It was just a weird,
it was a weird way he said it.
Didn't really
though.
Even fit in to the overall
yeah.
story.
No.
Pennington was good when he said we would have beat West Virginia if some young gunslinger quarterback hadn't thrown two picks.
Yeah. And you know what's funny? And
he needs a haircut.
I know you'll make fun of me.
Ridiculous.
He still needs
just
a haircut.
Ridiculous.
I know you'll make fun of me, but I totally remember that game.
Of course you do.
And it was something like a 48-45 game. It was a ridiculous shootout.
He had four touchdowns. Some other kid had like two or three, whatever it was.
And it was a big – because that was – I think that was their first game.
It was. As a 1A program.
And everybody was like, oh, West Virginia will mop the floor with this team, 1AA. And you know me. I was always the champion of the little guy. And that was a great game.
Because they're really the little guy.
I forgot.
Well,
they took the Notre Dame FSU talent.
Not now.
Why was
How
Moss,
could they fight that game with the best player in the country?
It's a great interception by Brent Grimes in that Detroit-Miami game from last week they just showed.
Doing radio.
Why was Moss
talking about a documentary that no one can see.
why was he the only guy on that Marshall team that wore the striped socks?
I don't know.
I always thought that was funny.
Their pregame ritual was smoking weed, getting a haircut, and getting their socks.
Yeah.
Weren't there like uniform socks? Like,
I didn't understand.
You picked
it.
Out special socks for the game?
Yeah, I don't know.
All right, good talk there.
He has no interest because he's never seen a 30 for 30.
I said it was good talk.
But you know what the worst part
is? And you know who has interest? Our listeners. Because Eldridge wants to talk about it. He's madly in love with Randy Moss. He wants him to come back.
Don't get there defensive.
I am defensive.
There were also several Patriots highlights at the end.
Yeah,
yes.
Sure. Absolutely. All right, we're going to take a break.
Yeah. Absolutely.
No interest.
You watch those little documentaries there.
Yeah. I was busy watching this morning the probe landing on the comet. I thought that was pretty cool.
We were busy watching something that related to our job.
Yeah.
And it was last night, by the way.
All right, let's take a break. We come back. We have calls. We have emails here in PFW in Progress.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go.
Go. That's it. Come on. Kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call ** NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie. Three Super Bowl championships. AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years. The first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, and much more, including Pro Shop exclusives and sideline gear from Adidas, Nike, and New Era. The Pro Shop is located next to Gillette Stadium and is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at patriotsproshop.com. The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop, your team, your store.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
I'll tell you, I was at the beach on Tuesday, and there were a lot of high school girls there.
So you were lying on your stomach drilling for oil all day?
Oh, my God.
And I'm the inappropriate one.
That's another great moment from PFW in progress.
All right, back here in PFW in progress, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Web radio at patriots.com. Another email before we get to the phones. This is from Austin in Lubbock, Texas. I'm a driver for UPS. I listen to the podcast every day while I deliver. Didn't get a chance to email last week, but I had a funny story. As I was listening and sitting at a red light, a new blue Challenger pulled up by me. I noticed as it pulled up a giant Bronco decal on the side, followed by a number 18. Fortunately for me, under my uniform, I was wearing my Patriots shirt. So naturally, I unbuttoned my shirt like Superman, showed him, and with my eyes, I said, suck it. It was fun, but as we all know, we're on to Indianapolis. Keep up the good work, and go Pats.
I need to learn that skill, to be able to say, suck it with my eyes. Could come in beneficial down the road somewhere.
Probably the UPS bosses wouldn't want him doing that. But
yeah. Right, yeah.
Showing his jersey.
And telling potential customers to suck it.
But I love it. I love being repped like that in Lubbock, Texas. That's good stuff.
Being repped like that. Yep. Got to represent Patriot Nation.
All right, let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline.
I told them first... with my eyes, suck it. That's good. That's a good.
I've tried that with, well, anyway. Chester in Portland.
Back at the frat house.
With every woman that's made her way through this studio.
Chester's in Portland. Hey, Chester.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing today?
Good.
Great. Well, just like everybody, good outcome with the bye week. Doing a lot of analyzing as to where we are. And, I was lucky enough to get invited up to the Seattle Giants game over the weekend. Great to see the Giants lose in blowout fashion. For the first time, that I've experienced this year, it was cold, rainy, got me thinking now, and Marshawn Lynch, man, what a beast, but it got me thinking, having that bruiser with that weather is so important. We clearly saw some of that last year. I'm wondering, do we have enough in that backfield, with when that landscape changes now? With that in mind, do we see more James White now after the bye week? I know we saw a similar progression with Stephen Ridley in his rookie year. Some games inactive. After the bye week, he starts to become more of a factor. I'm sure as hell hoping to see more of him. I mean, it seems like such a throwaway fourth-round pick at this point to have him as such a non-factor. But, wanted to pick your brain on that. And then before I go, just wanted to say, looking forward to San Diego. Hearing Barry's call got me real fired up. I've since teamed up with him now. I'm going to be handling all the food and beverage stuff for both the night before and the tailgate. So I'm really looking forward to seeing you guys. Just getting real pumped up on that, Fred, and that's all I got. You guys have a good day.
Over. Excellent. Okay, thanks, Chester. That's the second time I've done
off,
that. I go to drop the caller. Instead, I turn off my microphone. and they're not even, on the same panel or something. They're completely different buttons on different sides of my body. On the James White, if you're looking for that big bruiser that's going to take advantage of the weather, it's not James White.
Who is it, Fred?
Jonas Gray. No, but in all seriousness, they may not have that guy on the roster.
They probably don't.
He's right about that. But I don't think James White's going to fill it.
If James White were that kind of guy, I would, yes, be predicting his role to grow and his activity to increase. But I'm not, because he isn't.
Right.
Now, I want to get it on the record, because not everybody who listens to this show watches our TV show, Thursday nights, Comcast 730. But, Fred, you are on the record that Jonas Gray, better than... Ben Jarvis Green Ellis. He is going to be better than Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, a 1,000-yard runner.
Yeah, whatever.
Wow, he really hammered.
He's not going to get 1,000 this year. Obviously.
No, I know, not this year.
He's the guy
No kidding.
He's the guy that would need that. His role will increase. Right. If you need that bruiser back.
He's the big guns.
Stephen Ridley, by the way, played all 16 games as a rookie. He had bigger roles in some games than others. Obviously, I don't even think he had 100 carries that year, but. Most of his work was done early in the year. He sort of didn't play as much as the year went on.
Yeah, but who else did they have that year? They had other backs.
Yeah. No, I'm just by Chester's email call there, talking about he's looking for James White. I agree with you two. I don't think James White fits that profile of a between the tackles bruising kind of runner that you need. And I also don't think it's as big a need as he does. I think Seattle needs Marshawn Lynch. They need a physical running game because they don't have
anything to fall back on if they don't have that. Russell Wilson runs a lot and makes some plays. He doesn't have a Rob Gronkowski to throw the football to. He doesn't even have Brandon LaFell to throw the football to. I think that they need to run the ball to have success on offense
in
Seattle.
But you can
the Patriots don't. No, they don't need to run the ball to have success.
But you can say that, you know, late in the season with the weather, there have been games that had they not had, let's say, Blunt last year or another year, it's Dillon, they may have had either a tougher time winning or they wouldn't have won.
You know? I will say that. He won't.
No, the game in the pouring rain last year against Buffalo, Blunt was outstanding.
But you don't think you need that.
No, I don't think you need that. No.
I think times you do.
I think you do too, and I think this team has shown over the years, late in years, especially late in championship runs or, you know, long playoff runs, they've run the ball.
The ability to adapt is key when you play in the Northeast.
I agree. If you can run the ball the way they did at the end of last year, you could fall back on that when they couldn't throw it and they could run it like that.
Right.
That was a big plus in their ability to find a way to win a couple of games that they might not have. I'm just not willing to say that they would have lost if they didn't have that. I've seen Tom Brady, and do you want to use the word adapt? I've seen Tom Brady adapt to any and all weather conditions over the years, and I have no trouble believing that they would have won that game against Buffalo if LeGarrette Blount rushed for 0 yards in that game. But they would have found a different way to win the game.
That was before he was declining, right?
Brady?
Or was he declining then?
No, he was declining then. Okay. But I'm just talking about his ability to perform in bad weather.
And it wasn't the postseason, because it wouldn't have happened in the postseason.
Again, you guys.
We can disagree if you want.
I know, and I know that's what it comes down to. It's, you know, LeGarrette Blount is the difference between winning and losing. I just don't feel that way.
No, that's Gronk.
No, being able
don't
to
be ridiculous.
Being
right.
able to lean on
that's my point. And the Seattle Seahawks don't have that luxury.
Being able to lean on a running game with whatever condition it is keeps you from doing what you normally do. I mean,
I don't think there's conditions that are going to keep them from doing what they normally do.
Okay.
I think that what they normally do is get the ball to Rob Gronkowski. And I don't think there are going to be conditions that are going to prevent that.
What if Gronk's hurt?
Well, that's different.
That would prevent the whole.
That ultimately did you win last year. But if that happens again, the same thing's going to happen.
Maybe.
Because when you lost Gronk last year, you no longer were a threat to do anything. And that's what I feel will happen
but
again
this year.
You're
better this year. Like, I certainly feel better about Brandon LaFell and Tim Wright than I do about Matthew Slater and Matthew Mulligan and Manawa Nui. I think, I'm not saying, you know, Paul will say it doesn't move the needle. It was one of our arguments of the summer. I don't know if those guys move the needle or not. You're better.
We'll see. I don't think your offense will be any better.
Hopefully we will not see.
No, I'm saying.
Because hopefully Gronk stays on the field.
Yes, but I'm not willing to say that you're substantially better on offense if Gronkowski
it's a nice.
I don't know. I didn't say substantially. I said better. I don't know how substantially. You would find that out along the way. When those guys, Tim Wright is forced into playing, you would find out if he is a guy who can contribute without Gronk, without others doing things for him. I have no idea of that. But I like him a hell of a lot better than Mulligan and Manawa Nui. Yeah.
What were you going to say, Eric?
No, that's all right. Don't worry.
Oh. Yeah, well, if Jonas Gray is to be that guy that, you know, if the weather gets foul, you know, you can give it to him. I hope he starts getting even more carries than he's getting now to get ready for that.
He's already that guy.
No, but I want him to get as many carries as possible, you know, so that he can see.
I don't.
He can see the different scenarios, you know.
I want to score 40 against the Colts and win.
Well, I know. Well, I just hope that he has a chance to run.
That day may come. I don't think that day is this week.
I would feel a lot more comfortable if I knew that they had somebody like Blount in the event that they needed to run the ball.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe they do. Maybe Gray is the guy. Maybe he can do what Blount did, but I don't know that yet.
And we also don't know if Ryan Wendell and Brian Stork are capable of being the line to run behind.
Yeah. They like Stork. They think he's got a mean streak.
I do, too.
You know? not that kind of streak.
He does not seem very nice.
Well, all season you've been talking about him pooping himself, and he didn't do it. So now he
peed himself.
He knows. He knows who you are.
He wet himself. No, he doesn't. He has no idea.
Oh, they know more than you think.
No, they don't.
He has absolutely no idea who we are.
Who's that guy? That's Andy. Oh, Andy Hart, huh? I heard about him.
I can guarantee you that conversation has never
happened.
What happened to the amazing Austin Davis that he's not the starter for this Sunday? Did he get hurt?
Oh, I don't know.
They said Sean Hill was going to start.
I don't know.
Yeah, Fisher said that, right?
Yeah. What happened?
I don't know.
Maybe I thought he was playing
hurt.
Well.
I know he got the crap kicked out of him in that Arizona game. Maybe he got hurt.
Oh, that's it. That reminds me. St. Louis is playing Denver coming up this week.
Yeah.
And with the way St. Louis is all of a sudden getting at the quarterback with your guy and
Quinning,
I'm interested to see this game.
Here we go. This is the week.
This is the week. This is the week, baby.
Are you just going to do this every single game
until
the season's over?
This
and then
the
you're going to just do it next year?
This is it for Manning.
Eric and I came up with something we observed interesting. Did you know that the who are the teams? The Bears and Cowboys play back-to-back Thursday games. Because they both play on Thanksgiving. The Bears are at the Lions. The Cowboys host somebody.
Yeah.
And then the following Thursday, they play on a Thursday night football game.
Wow. Mm-hmm. I don't think I've... And then the other weird one was...
Oh, yeah.
The Bears, next game after that, is on a Monday night.
So they go,
from a Thursday to a Monday.
They're not going to win another game this year.
I don't think the schedule has anything
Well, I just think that they're going to be like, we give up. Let's go to Mike in Virginia
Beach.
It'd
be a good gig if you were covering that team.
Hey, Mike.
Get two weekends off.
All right, so they teach you to catch the ball with your hands, which cracks me up. I mean, it's like when people say, kick it with your foot. The kick involves a foot. There's really not much.
Well, but there's a body catching, too, where you bring it into your body and surround it with your arms. So there is another way to – hands are thought to be out in front of you, you know.
And certainly not all receivers catch the ball with their hands.
No, they don't.
They let it hit their body.
Yeah, so
which college or camp teaches you to catch it with one hand in your helmet and let Mike Carey do the rest?
Okay,
Now
you're being Andy Hart literal.
Hey!
Paul, do the Bears stink?
The what?
Do the Bears stink?
Do the Bears stink, Paul?
Yeah.
They still stink.
Yeah, I have to go.
I've changed my opinion on them after they allowed 55 the next game.
And Andy, we had the conversation last week about getting warm and fuzzy. I'm rescinding my warm and fuzzy regarding Welker, but if I'm still a bad person for wanting to see, you know, like Bernard Pollard get lit up, okay, I'll take that.
You are.
Just so you know, you followed the very next day with a joke that some people I still thought was funny, but if you recall your joke regarding where was Patrick Chung?
No, I don't.
He doesn't recall.
I don't recall any.
On the Malaysian Airlines flight?
No, was that Patrick Chung?
Yeah.
I don't even have any idea what we're talking about.
Somebody
who
has disappeared
was,
or something, and I said, what was he, on Malaysian Air?
And then you said,
too soon?
the flight that disappeared.
I could definitely envision you saying it. I just don't have any recollection of it.
I thought I was the one that made one of those jokes.
You always did.
You think every joke you make that you didn't steal from somebody, but you do.
But you actually
I could see
made
you
it,
saying
I think,
it too.
The week that it happened.
Yeah.
At least Andy's is, you know,
well
several
removed.
Months away.
So that's kind of like when I tell my wife what I think is a good idea, and she says, let me think about it. And 2 weeks later, she brings me this idea that is a great idea. And I'm like, all I can do is agree.
That's how it works, Mike. Yep, that's how it works.
I've been at it for a while, yeah.
Treat it like Matt Patricia. Keep your head down.
Eyes up.
All right, that's all I got.
All right, thanks, Mike, from Virginia Beach. Let's go to Balarco from Los Angeles. Hey, Balarco.
Polo.
Hey, guys. I was looking at some of the prospects from next year's draft. There are lots of offensive tackles that are supposed to be really, really good.
Okay, well, next year, give us a call.
No, so what I was wondering is that based on the 9 games you have seen Nate Solder play, will you take a chance in the next draft and draft a tackle?
Maybe.
I wouldn't make it a first-round priority.
No, not first-round, no.
Yeah, right. I also don't know what they think of Cameron Fleming.
And Fleming is pretty much a right tackle.
Yeah, no, I know that, but they could also, if they really wanted to do stuff, they could move Vollmer if they wanted to do that way, if they were so disappointed with Solder. I don't think they've reached that point based on what they're talking about.
Googe said he's one of the best left tackles in football over the last recent games.
I don't think the offensive line is that much of a priority in the first round.
Let's go to Dave in Chicago. Hey, Dave.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. I need some weapons.
I hope Jonas Gray can be something more than Jarvis Green. His only claim to fame was he didn't fumble. I want to back this a little bit.
You think Jonas Gray is going to be better than Ben Jarvis?
I hope he can be. I haven't seen enough to make a statement like that, but
You know, yeah. Ben Jarvis Greenell is a multi-time 1,000-yard rusher, right?
Yeah, but as a 1,000-yard rusher.
I mean, I think
rusher,
he's as like, jaggy as the jag can get, but the other guy took 3 years to get in the league.
Yeah. No, I just think, I don't know. I want something, either way, I want something more than what Jarvis Greenell was. You know, it's got to, I was hoping for
him
to be
that,
but he's been, yeah, and also we had a much better offensive line back then, too. But anyway, our offense
is going to go through.
Yeah, I think so. If there's a anyway, our offense is going to go through Gronk, you know. And like you were saying, it's going to be they're never going to rest anybody unless they have nothing to play for. But
well,
is there any way?
That's the hypothetical.
Belichick always just wants to win the game, and I don't think regardless of the situation, unless there's nothing to play for.
Oh, we all agree with that. I mean. It was Big Al the other day saying, if you're playing Green Bay, do you kind of look at it as an exhibition game?
No, but we're talking about, that's silly.
We're only
talking
saying
about
you
week,
rest guys if there's, like you said, nothing right. to gain.
Week
by
17,
week.
They're locked into the number one seed.
Right.
Do you rest? Do you rest Brady and Gronk?
Maybe you start them, but yeah, eventually you take them out.
Well, I know.
Well, before the game.
We know
over.
If that were the situation, they're not playing wire to wire. Bill has done that every time.
Right.
But do you play Gronk at all, is the question.
Well, I think they learned a lesson with Welker back in the day. So I don't think he would just sit him if it came down to that.
I think with Gronkowski, I think you're right, Dave. I think that they would sit him.
But is there a gray area, though, as far as rest? Is there something where Brady or McDaniels, are there some routes you take off the tree for him? Those deep posts down the middle where you would see him getting his knees taken out every single time?
Subjecting him to a big
hit. Those you don't make?
Yeah, maybe.
I think that's hard to do.
I know, you don't want to take your foot off. Like, that's kind of the way you've been winning, you know? So I don't think that's something you... But I'm not sure if that's something down the road once you have the division locked up, let's say. Because I'd rather have... What would you rather have? No Gronk, home field advantage, or...
Gronk.
At Denver, with Gronk.
With Gronk. Gronk.
With Gronk.
With Gronk. Exactly. But I think he's playing. Or he's not playing. I don't see, okay, we're going to eliminate any throws in the middle of the field or any of that. He's either playing or he's not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So take that out of the equation and just sit him.
Says Eric. Sit him.
I would sit him. I'm with Eric on that. If they had nothing to gain,
sit him.
They are locked into the number one seed. Now, if you just have a bye and you have a chance to get one, I play him.
Oh, yeah.
What about the whole thing?
If you're locked into number one.
What about the whole thing? If you sit him for the game, then essentially now he's out for almost 3 weeks because you're not playing.
Well, or Paul,
I have no problem with
that. If you're locked into number two.
Not with Gronk.
If you can't
move up or down.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, if you're locked into whatever the seed you are in, I would have no problem with sitting him.
All right, Dave, thanks for the call.
He'd be the only guy that would fall into that for me, though. You know, the other thing with Brady, there's something to be gained with the rust, you know, to avoid that. So you probably want to start him and play him like a preseason game, like he's done in the past. Mm-hmm. He's done that with Brady in the past in some of those games, and then it's, you know, we always joke it's the earn your letter game. You know, mm-hmm. all the guys are playing in the second half, and it's almost like a preseason game. I understand if you don't, like Fred's point, you don't want to give Brady 2 full weeks off heading into the playoff game. That makes sense. I just think with Gronk, he's that important. You need to make sure that he's healthy. And the only way you can ensure that is by not playing him.
All right, let's go to Trey in Memphis. Hey,
wow.
Trey.
We find a way to get ahead
of
ourselves.
Hey, guys, how's
though.
It going?
Good. What's up?
Man, oh, that Big Al comment, man, that was one of the stupidest things I ever heard. I mean, that was ridiculous, man. You want to sit Tom Brady down on a primetime game where you get a chance to really see, you know, you talking about sitting him down against Aaron Rodgers and putting in a Jimmy Garoppolo. That guy's going to crap his pants.
In Lambeau.
Is there any chance that Al was taken out of content, as Roger Clemens would say?
No.
Any chance he screwed this up and didn't mean it the way it's
He was saying that Green Bay is a game that, you know, because it's out of conference, you could treat it as an exhibition game.
Yeah, and
he said
Garoppolo and not Brady?
Yeah.
Well, part of his theory was coming off the Detroit game, he might get hit in the Detroit game, and you might want to freshen him up a little by not playing
football.
Him in Green Bay.
Football.
He also said
football.
That.
I agree, Trey.
He also, Paul, said that non-conference games are like exhibition games.
Yeah. Just pure preseason. Yeah.
The closest
they don't count
that
for anything.
Exhibition you can get.
Yeah, they don't count for anything.
Okay.
Well, they count on the record.
That's what we told them.
And
right,
seeding.
I don't want to talk about
that's things. What I'm saying. They count on the record. Now, I agree that those four games are the least important out of the 16.
Right.
But you're still
they count
to win
in
them.
The record, and you have to have a better record than the other teams that you're competing with for seeding.
Right.
All right, guys.
Okay, Trey.
I want to talk about some matchups, man. I'm more intrigued to see how the running backs and how linebackers match up with their running back, because they throw to their back out of the backfield, man, an awful lot.
Yep.
I mean, this is becoming a big part of their game. So that's going to be a kind of I'm interested to see how Bill is going to, match up against that personnel. I mean, because a lot of times, man, they go with the two back set. And I noticed that the last two or three games, they're literally focused on getting the running backs involved in the passing game.
Well, and when you have to defend that short pass, it opens it up for Ty Hilton and when you got a guy like Luck,
T.Y.,
you have to defend the whole field. You can't just
Ty Law.
Look at one
thing. Right. And I'm not afraid of. This is gonna be my last thing. I'm not afraid of Reggie Wayne. I mean, because even though he still makes plays, but he's not as he's gonna make his plays, but he's not as dangerous as he once were, man. So I just really think that we focus on the backs. And focus on taking T. Wild. I think we can make it a little bit difficult for Luck, and hopefully he don't break our best with the third down run. Okay, fellas, I'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
See
you,
okay. Trey. All right, Trey. Okay. All right. I agree about Wayne. He's not as dangerous as he once was. He's still a good player, but he's not
old and coming off an ACL.
He's not going to kill you.
But it's not just the backs. It's the backs in conjunction with the tight ends, in conjunction with Wayne, possession type. They have. And that's what I said to the little bit of everything. Bradshaw, T.Y. Hilton, the playmaker, possession
receiver. It's staggering how much
more
offense they have on the field for this game than they did in the playoff game. When you're talking about Dwayne Allen, Ahmad Bradshaw, Reggie Wayne, it's not even the same offense that you're facing.
But I think you can say the same thing about the Patriots. Their offense is much better, which is why later in the week I'll predict a 77-74 shootout.
You've already predicted it then?
No, I haven't really. That would be like a record or something. I do think there's going to be a lot of points scored in the dome.
Take
the
over?
Field.
Yeah.
I don't know. What's the over?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Just saying, if you think they're going to score that many points.
I'm still stunned
that
the Patriots are underdogs in this game. Stunned.
It's a pick'em, basically.
Because the Colts stink, or?
I just think the Patriots are better.
Oh.
You don't think the Patriots are better?
I do.
So I'm stunned by that.
But you always say that I'm a homer, so
I think most people believe
that
the Patriots are better. Right?
Except for the bookies, I guess.
Yeah. You're right. 2.5 points.
2.5.
All right. It's okay.
I'm
you can disagree
by that.
With the bookies.
I'm definitely disagreeing with the bookies. But I'm agreeing with Fred in this case, so it's okay.
I think the Patriots
are
better.
I'm not being crusty.
But what does Fred matter? He's a homer.
Right. That's my
So obviously it means
discounted.
More coming from me.
Right.
Right?
Right.
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 Everybody's happy.
Well, you hate the Patriots, though.
That's not true.
Oh.
You.
Let's go to Chris in Scottsdale. Hey, Chris.
Cristobal.
Cristoforo.
Chris.
Brad, you got to tell him to turn the internet
down. Yeah, you got to turn your internet down, Chris.
Cristoforo.
All right. Sorry, Chris. Give it another shot. The troll writes in at webradio@patriots.com.
He's right there.
I live in Louisville, Kentucky, which is across the river from Indiana and Colts Nation. Recently, I went into the grocery store wearing a Patriots hat, and the guy behind the counter was giving me grief. He kept bringing up us being cheaters and how Luck was going to go to town on us, and Brady was a crybaby that wears women's clothing. I wanted to reach across the counter and rip this guy's lungs out, but I promised my wife that I wouldn't take the Patriots so seriously. So after this jackass was done on his tirade, I simply looked at him and said very calmly, it is what it is. If the Patriots something the Colts.
It's not as good as telling. What did the guy tell him with his eyes?
Suck it with my eyes.
Yeah, that's not as good as telling him to suck it with your eyes.
If the Patriots beat the Colts, I have to find this useless turd and get him back. But how? You guys think maliciously toward each other, so clearly you can have a plan for me paying back this 100% classless, mutant, maggot-infested piece of crap, can't you? I hear it all the time from the classless Colts apologists, but because this guy was supposed to serve me in his job and would not shut up, I just feel like justice should be served if the Patriots are victorious. Any suggestions? Well, the first thing, I'd go back with my Patriots cap, for one thing, and then see what he has to say then.
What was the guy's role? I missed the very beginning.
The cashier, right?
He was cashier at a...
Yeah. He was a guy behind a counter in a grocery store. So maybe you go and you buy some clam chowder and some lobster, and you bring it up to the guy. And,
it's a terrible idea.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah. Thanks, Chris.
We're not going to tell you to go beat him up or anything.
Oh, no.
No.
But I think if you show up with your Patriots hat on, see what he has to say now.
Maybe bang his wife.
Who
I think Paul would have beat him up.
Right.
No, because his brother would have.
Paul didn't get his cold cuts. He would have been pissed.
Oh, as long as I got my food.
Yeah, that's what you should do. You should go back to the store and just with your hat on and just say, who's the now?
Yeah.
And then if he punches you in the jaw, you have to think, oh, you know what? That wasn't so bad.
I remember thinking. I didn't hurt
who's the pussy now?
Why don't you go and get Richie Campanella and go back?
That's a great way to tackle.
Right. That's a great way to tackle.
Go and tackle him by the knees.
Pat from Agawam, for Andy, the highest scoring game in NFL history is Washington 72, Giants 41 in 1966.
When were you asking about that?
I said it was going to be 77-74, yeah. Patriots.
Oh.
So how many is that? 77 and 42, 119?
Yeah.
I'm not sure they'll get that. If that's the over, I might take the under.
Dan of Virginia, I just caught up on all of last Wednesday's show. Firstly, Andy, I'm not a fraud. I've always been a big fan of Ninko. He reminds me of the blue-collar, no-name guys of the Super Bowl-winning team. Secondly, in the offseason, can we please have a highlight show that is entirely made up of the fights you guys have had? Can we also have a highlight show of Fred's Guide to Life with Fred's deep thoughts about selfies, helicopter parents, and other non-football-related topics?
I chuckled to myself about the helicopter parents.
Have you never heard that before?
No.
I have heard it, but the way you put it was funny.
I haven't.
You are one.
Am I?
Really?
What does that mean?
Do you hover over your kids?
I don't think so.
No, I don't think you do. No.
Some would say I'm the opposite. I was here doing the show while my son was having surgery yesterday.
Did you hear that when you got home?
No, I was.
How's
okay.
He doing?
It was okay. He's fine.
He's eating ice cream.
He was tired, but he was fine.
Just tired.
Maybe we'll go cookies and cream this time.
He wanted to know if pizza was on the list of things that he could eat.
I remember. I got my tonsils out. How old is who was it?
Seven. It's TJ. Seven.
I think I might have been even a little younger, and I had a back then. You stayed overnight.
Yeah, he was close. It wasn't, didn't get out of there until after 6.
But this was planned. I mean, no one left. You stayed overnight. And so back then I sucked my thumb and I had a blanket. And I did. I stopped that last year. But
we know who the pussy is now.
So
you.
You're in this crib at night. And, of course, if you need anything, you had a button to, get the nurse there. So I realized I didn't have my blanket.
By anything, what do you mean by that?
My blanket was in my suitcase.
He said suck it with his eyes.
So I remember,
he was 6 years old.
I remember being this little kid, but, so I press the button and the nurse comes over and she says, well, what do you need? I said, in that suitcase, there's a blanket. I need it. And this thing was like tattered because I had literally had it since I'd been born. And, like where I rubbed it, it was all worn out and everything. So the nurse goes in and she goes, this thing? And I remember, I said, just give it to me.
I don't need your commentary.
I was like 5 or 6. Just give it to me.
Wait a minute. You were by yourself?
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't see that happening now.
Yeah.
Just give
like
it.
My wife just would never let.
This is like 1966 or something like that.
Wow.
Yeah. I would think today you'd be in like a room where your parent could stay with you or something.
No. And they brought us out. They brought us like at around 6 o'clock. You went into this room with a bunch of other kids so you could like play with these other kids that were sleeping over. And this one kid goes, oh, they cut it out and there's blood everywhere. And the next day it's really, really bad. And like, this
You're
kid's trying
out.
To scare you. Yeah. Yeah.
It's like prison or something.
Lord of the Flies.
Yeah.
What is going on?
Yeah. But I remember just saying, just give it to
just
me.
Give it to shut your hole, lady.
Anyway, Dan in Virginia continues, will the presence of Brady in the second Ted film be enough to prevent Kevin from spoiling the ending? Oh, did you see the bit where Ted kills Giselle, blaming her for the 2 Super Bowl losses?
That was another show I missed.
What?
When Ted, when Kevin, oh, when Kevin drew the ire of.
Oh, I missed that too.
PFW and Progress Nation.
totally spoiled the movie for many people.
He kind of didn't. If you've seen the movie, he kind of did.
Well, that part of it is very, it's a small part of the movie. It's not like.
But it is at the end, and it's sort of a false ending.
Yeah.
So.
True. Yeah.
He didn't really spoil it, but he gave away something.
I'm glad that you're not doing play-by-play.
The new part with Brady does sound kind of funny, though, with what Wahlberg described on the BS report.
I didn't hear him. What did he say?
He said basically he's a AC repairman, Wahlberg, I think, and fixes Brady's,
right.
And then pretends he doesn't know who he is, but he's a Super Patriots fan. And he asks him to sign, like, the invoice, and he says, can you sign it to Ted, number 12, and Giants suck, and Welker's a traitor. And, like, he has all these things down here.
Dan also says, do you think Luck will have learned from his previous encounters with the Patriots, or will they still be able to get turnovers? What is it about the Colts uniform that allows Belichick to get in the heads of their quarterbacks so consistently? Well, I mean, it's only two quarterbacks.
I'd be careful with that if I were a Patriots fan.
I know.
I'd wait till after this week before I say, well, why is Bill in Luck's head?
Well, I would also say that the knock on Luck, as everybody said at the beginning of the show, I think Pat Nagelwan was saying he was overrated, he turns the ball over a lot. So is it because the coaches are in Luck's head that he's turning the ball over a lot? Or he's trying to make plays and he turns the ball over a little bit? I mean, that's...
But he also makes the plays.
Right. Well, that's why I think he's great. I think he's already a great quarterback. I don't have to see more. Now, how much he wins?
How much better he can get?
Who knows
get,
how
though.
Much he's going to win? I'm just talking about.
I'll tell you how much he's going to win when he gets Sergio Brown and Darius Butler off his defense.
Yeah, well, that's part of it, and you can't discount the burden that he has to put points on the board. He knows that he's going to have. You know, I think that what's made them a little bit better this year than the first 2 years is the defense has held teams down a little bit better than they have in the last couple of years. I don't know how. I think that defense is terrible on paper, but.
I think they're terrible on the field, too.
Well, on the field, they haven't been terrible.
When you're dead last in red zone defense, that's bad.
Yeah, and when you're top 10 in points allowed, that's not bad. So I don't get how they do it.
Not buying it.
I don't get how they do it.
I've seen plenty of Patriots defense that couldn't say anything, that were, they were 11th in points allowed. They're not really that bad. Yes, they are. They suck.
I mean,
they have
good.
Tom Brady and a good offense.
The Colts are on,
that
good
sways
on,
games.
They're good. I'm sure it is. I don't think the Colts have a good defense. But on paper, they do.
That's my point. On paper, people
I mean,
told
on paper
me,
statistically,
that's
not
a top
on paper
10
with personnel.
Patriots have a top 10 or top 12 scoring defense. It sucks. It has sucked over the years when they were every. And yards don't matter. It's about points, and check out their points. Well, you know when it's easy to have points? It's like Paul said last week. When you're up 40 and you're making the other team go for it on fourth down and not kick field goals, guess what that does? Keeps your points down.
Steven Killeen, Texas, eliminating T.Y. Hilton as a threat with the Brown or Revis combination. What would you see as the other keys to a Patriots win? So eliminating Hilton, what would be another key? Keeping Luck in the pocket?
Well, not allowing him to extend drives with his athleticism.
Yeah.
Cheap third downs because he earns them. It's not like a hands to the face. But if you start having a couple of those where it's third and six and he runs for
third
seven,
and long,
that's
going to
start kicking you in the nuts at some point.
Take away his first option, keep him in the pocket.
But I think he has tremendous options.
I don't think it's about taking away T.Y.
Hilton. If you take T.Y. Hilton away, I think he's just going to throw to Reggie Wayne and Dwayne Allen and Kobe Fleener and Ahmad Bradshaw and all these other guys that he has no problem throwing to.
They've been opportunistic with turnovers when it's counted.
It's turnovers.
And that's what's kept them in these games.
In my mind, turnovers and keeping Luck on the sidelines with three and outs would be at the top of my list.
Yes, if you can go three and out, that's good.
Yeah, if you can get them to go three and out, you're probably going to win.
And you're welcome for lunch. That will have to happen again.
Soon. And I apologize for that snarky remark. Thank you very much for lunch.
That will have to happen again soon, including Mr. Rook, who was normally not shown the lunchtime love.
Well, he enjoyed it yesterday.
He did yesterday.
Chicken parm, I think he enjoyed.
Yeah, it's like he hadn't eaten in days. I don't know.
Bobby Sands.
Right.
I agree the turnovers are the biggest thing, though. Luck turns it over, and you take it away. Sounds like a good combination.
Chris is in Arizona on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hey, Chris.
Hey, how you doing, Fred?
Good.
What's going on with you guys today?
Just doing some radio.
Just doing some radio, hanging out. Hey, Paul, are you there?
I am here. What's up, Chris?
Okay, listen, this is Chris, your new friend on Facebook. I just wanted to call in and say hi to
you. Oh, all right. Hey, good for you.
Yeah, man.
Mister, I hate Twitter, but he's on Facebook.
Thank you.
I heard you guys the other day talking about
that.
I thought it was funny.
I'm on Facebook. I've never said that I wasn't on Facebook.
And his front page is a selfie, by
Twittery.
The way.
Twittery. Good for you.
Do you have a selfie on the front page?
No.
Anyways, but here, more importantly, listen, I just wanted to kind of relay a couple of stories. Back in the day, Eric had made a comment about, listeners not being friends and what have you. And That might have been Andy, too. I'm not positive.
No, but do not lump me in with Eric.
But listen, here's the thing. Andy, like when the marathon thing happened and everything like that, immediately, I'll just let you know this, without having talked to you in person or called into the show ever, my thoughts immediately gravitated to you and was hoping for nothing but safety for you and the best outcome for your family.
Well, I appreciate that, and I mentioned that at the time. It was very cool how much of an outpouring from the PFW, PFW in Progress family I got, and it is fun to know that we reach so many people and that they do care. Or at least
we really do, and I went through some personal experiences myself. I got a back surgery that kind of had me not myself for a long time and went through depression, and family moved away, friends moved away from the area for various reasons and whatnot. Found myself out here on my own for quite a bit of time and found this show at that time, and I can just tell you, it brought comedic relief, obviously conversation about my best team, you know, my favorite team in the world, and the whole nine, and so you really do make an impact on people.
Well, so you know, cool. You know that we cured a guy's cancer.
Well, I was going to say, now we
guy in Toronto,
we cured Toronto. Cancer, we've cured depression.
We did.
Oh, we're going for Ebola next week.
No, I'm going for that woman in Maine. I'm going to kill her.
I wasn't joking about that though. The guy in Toronto, what's it, Chris in Toronto? I think he had
cured cancer,
and he was listening to our show during his recovery.
And we've gotten people through tragedies. Remember the bombing in the hotel in where was that?
Thailand? In India?
Thailand or somewhere, yep.
We've Mumbai?
Yeah, Mumbai.
Yeah.
So we've...
I just never want you guys, bottom line, I just never want you to take for granted, you know, the impact that you are having. Because when you're sitting around the table just eating lunch, talking sports and what have you, that is what it is, yes, to an extent. But you don't know the listenership sometimes, you know, like who you're reaching and at a time in their lives and how it's really working. So for that reason, and I know you guys tease and razz about, like, you know, I won't be doing this job much longer and whatever, and Andy especially. But, you know, the point is you guys should be grateful that you have that job and that position. And to me, it's a dream job.
We're
working with Fred to start with.
That's great to hear.
Yeah, that's a dream.
We just wish the show had more of an impact on our lives.
Right.
So, yeah. It's a dream that never ends.
And it also concerns me a little. If we have this positive impact, does that mean we could, like, you know, drive people to depression?
We could have
another way.
Well, that's what he's saying. You never know who's listening.
All
out
those people
there.
Who aren't
like Justin,
in,
right. When you know, I made fun of Justin impact. For being a druggie and hung up on him,
right. You
know, all of a sudden I'm the reason he's in like a rehab center or something.
He's scrolling your name on the wall.
I'll tell you what drives you to depression. I went to the Super Bowl out here with the Tyree catch.
Yeah.
On the helmet.
Yep.
Yeah. I was in a suite with Cal Ripken Jr. and Ryan Seacrest, of all people, if you can imagine that tandem together in one spot.
That is a...
I wonder why you were depressed.
Right.
And it was my first football game ever because I grew up in extreme poverty in Manchester, New Hampshire, in Candia.
So how did you grow up in extreme poverty and end up at the Super Bowl for undefeated for your favorite team?
It's America.
In a box with Ryan Seacrest. Okay. By the way, do you think Ryan Seacrest is gay?
Who cares? I can tell you this.
I do.
Hold on, Andy.
I want to know.
Let him talk. Here it is.
Yeah, let him talk. If he's available.
All right, let the guy speak. Here's the thing. When I went there, I took my friend Tony from New Hampshire as well. He's from Raymond. And
Sausage Fest.
Oh, no, well, listen, it wasn't when Seacrest showed up, I'll tell you that. There was, like, eight extremely, like, had to be top 10, grade A, you know, prime choice women.
Nice.
It was unbelievable. They were all nice. He was awesome. He was built like a woman.
You know those are called beards, right?
Yeah, right? Exactly. Maybe, but I don't know. From the way he was hanging on one of them, it didn't look that way, so. But, anyways, more importantly, that was, like, a terrible, terrible, terrible experience. And we have the Super Bowl coming up, obviously, here again. So if you guys have an extra credential or anything like that, you can pass out to a guy that's already here, I'm lining up and signing up.
I'd probably give you Eric's.
Yeah. Oh, if he ain't going.
Well, Paul might.
We didn't tell him yet, but.
Oh, okay. Well, anyways, guys, listen, I just wanted to tell you that I appreciate what you guys do.
All right.
It's a great show.
Well, thank you.
You know, keep it up.
Thanks,
thank
Chris.
You. All right. We appreciate it. Yeah.
That's
congrats on everything.
It's always interesting to hear that, you know.
Yeah.
It's good to hear.
It is very good to hear because, you know, on some level we just sit here and screw around and,
well,
to know that we're entertainers and we're making people feel good. We're having, you know, everybody likes to say, oh, you know, we just talk about what other people do for a living. That's all we do. Well, you know what? To that person and that person and that person, they care. We're entertainers. We're informing them. We're entertaining them. They like us.
Our little podcast.
I wonder how.
Yeah.
I wonder how much, EEI. I wonder how much our gangbang discussion helped people yesterday.
You never know. I had people tweeting
me
to things that I didn't have a chance to Google yet, and the guy's like, Google this, not safe for work, but I can personally, through friends, tell you this happened. And I don't know what the link was. It was a weird word he told me to Google, but, like, clearly it's out there.
Oh, I know it is.
There's no doubt in my mind you took part. The way you're so definitive about this, you are lying your ass off. You are absolutely lying.
I'm not saying I did.
And you told you've yelled at Eric for not being truthful to the listeners.
I've never taken part in one of those.
It's not his bag, baby.
Never,
one of those.
So what have you taken part in? Ménage à trois?
Well, ooh! Wait a minute now.
Two dudes and one girl?
Oh, no.
No, I would never do
sword
that.
Fight.
No.
I would only bump butts shower with little
count.
Kids.
That doesn't count.
Right. You were in a gang.
Because that was more than three guys.
Right.
Let's just put it this way. I went to school in Florida. Okay. Enough said.
I don't know. I think more needs to be said.
I think a lot of
it has to be said. It's the orange state. What does that mean? Like, what are you talking about?
A lot of stuff goes on down there.
Soak should make cocks bigger.
Need I say more?
Right. Orlando.
What?
You know what I'm saying?
Show your O-face.
They don't just call it Tampa Bay for nothing.
What does that mean, Fred? Stanley writes in, who loves the show, from Australia. I was listening to you guys go on about the selfies, and I think you're dead on. Like, what the F is the point of them? And it's not a selfie if two people are in it, and then becomes a photo, a damn selfie.
See, that's what I was looking for the clarification.
I don't think that's true. I think if you take it yourself, you can take a selfie
with somebody else.
But if you ask somebody else to take it, it's not a selfie.
Exactly.
You didn't take a picture of yourself.
Right. Anyway, a football question. How do you guys think the Cardinals are going to go now that Carson Palmer is out for the season? Huge Pats fan, by the way, and I believe we're going to make it and win the Super Bowl.
Isn't it just the Cardinals' luck? They get on a good streak. They have a quarterback who's playing well again. They sign him to a deal, and he hurts
it's his luck, too. Did you see that? I didn't know that.
Yeah, he didn't get hit.
No. He signed his $100 million contract with the Bengals, and 10 days later tore his ACL.
Yes.
So
when is the last time, Paul will know the answer to this, I'm sure, when is the last time a team won a Super Bowl with a quarterback other than the quarterback they started the season with?
Tom Brady.
Giants? Oh, well, yeah.
I would say
that one, too, yeah.
Yeah,
forgot about that one.
I think the Patriots, and then the year before it also happened with Baltimore. And then the Giants in 90.
Right.
Miami went undefeated.
But I think the last time it was the
Patriots.
But
the last time, I think, would be the 0-1 Patriots.
Right.
But
who was Baltimore's quarterback at the beginning of that year?
Tony Banks.
Wow. Wouldn't remember that.
I did. I don't know why, but
you don't remember what you said 10 minutes
right.
ago.
Why that's in my brain, I couldn't tell you.
Roethlisberger in 05, Manning 06,
Breeze
07.
Eli, Breeze, Roethlisberger.
1-08. Pittsburgh again. Roethlisberger 09 was Breeze, 10 was Rodgers, 11, Eli again, 12, Flacco. Yeah, last time would be 01.
Yep.
Patriots.
Might have heard of it, Brady.
Indiana Matt from Charleston, South Carolina.
Did you know the Patriots have only had four people start games since 1994? That's the best in the NFL. Four people.
Yeah.
Zolak, Brady, Bledsoe, and Castle.
Wow.
And that the Packers are second with five. The Raiders have had 24 or 25.
How many the Browns have?
20. Oof. They're right, 23, 22, somewhere in there.
And that's with a gap,
and that's
right?
with a little bit of a gap, yeah.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. I just thought it was really – and
jeez.
The Bears are probably up there, too.
The Packers actually –
that storied franchise that you guys all thought – no, never mind.
The Packers actually have the record for people – quarterbacks to start seasons. They have two since 94. It's Favre and it's Rodgers. The Patriots have
– two.
Should be two.
Since 94 start seasons?
Oh, since 94. Yeah. Bledsoe and Brady.
Yeah, for sure it said three, and now it doesn't make – that makes no sense.
Because Castle didn't start the season.
He got
hurt the first game.
First game.
And Zolak, check that note
and Zolak
again.
Never started a season.
That could be
no!
It's since 93.
Yeah, he did!
Bledsoe started the first game of 93. First game of his rookie year he started. So
yeah,
since then it's just been Brady and Bledsoe.
I gotta check that. I thought it said –
did he start the year 2000?
Yeah.
Bledsoe.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
In 2001.
Right. Indiana Matt, I love the email from the guy in Louisville. I lived in Indiana until this past May, and he described my life as a Patriots fan among the Colts fans, and the hatred that oozed through his email mirrored my feelings of the Colts and their fans. I have a question about the Patriots' D. Is it the dominant defense that Fred thought it could be, or is it still the unproven defense that Paul thought it was earlier in the year? I thought they played well against the Broncos, but was stunned to realize how many yards they allowed. Was I deceived by the big plays the defense made? Was the Broncos game the defense turning the corner and becoming the defense we want it to be? Or do you think it was an outlier game? I don't think it's the dominant defense I thought I was hoping or hoping it was going
to
be.
I think it still has the potential to be pretty good.
Yeah.
I think we talked about this yesterday. The numbers don't tell that story, that it's different. Matter of fact, I think they're even behind last year's pace in a lot of the major categories. They've given up more points. They've given up more yards. I think they're roughly the same in terms of rankings, middle of the pack. They're a little bit better on third down defense, but not significantly. But my eye tells me they are much better defensively right now than they were last year.
Here's what I want the defense to be. I want it when the Patriots get a 10-point lead, the game's over. I don't feel it's there yet.
No, it's definitely not there.
But that's the way it was in 2003 and 2004.
Yeah, right? I thought that.
Oh, yeah.
That's what. Well, it doesn't have to be the 85 Bears, but when you get a 10-point lead, you can close it out.
Yeah. I thought the Denver game wasn't really any of the different things. You know, the John Dennis like multiple choice question. I thought that the offense, Andy mentioned this a little earlier, the offense I thought put the defense in a position where they were in total control and Denver could no longer kick field goals. They had to you know, Denver easily could have had 35 points in that game, but they didn't because of the score. And the Patriots defense, again, to my mind's eye, watching the defense, it was better. The defense played better in that game against Denver than I remember them playing in any game last year. Now, statistically, Manning threw for 150 yards last year.
Right.
And he threw for 438 this year. I'll take the performance this year over last year any day of the week.
Right. Yep. Kyle says, you guys are totally off. A selfie is a picture of yourself. When you take a picture of yourself with other people, it's called an ussie.
Yeah, I'm not
You're
off.
A pussy.
I asked the question because I wanted to get a clarification.
They all call it selfies, like the famous one. What was the famous one?
If you take the picture
Ellen. Of the Oscars.
Ellen,
yeah.
Oh, look at the selfie or whatever.
They
Ellen
all say, like, can I take a selfie with you? They all say that.
I don't care what anybody else.
It was actually Bradley Cooper who took that picture.
Right, so it wasn't a selfie.
Well, for him,
for him, it's a selfie. For her, it's a lesbian.
But this one is saying it's not a selfie if there's someone else in it. This emailer, I'm sorry. I think
he was being silly.
I like the Usy part, I think, was being silly.
Yeah.
He was a Youper. Yeah. He was a Youper taking an Usy.
Upper Peninsula guy.
All right.
Remember that one?
Yeah, I remember that
one. Okay. I didn't know if you were here for that part.
No, I remember
that. Yeah, you miss so many shows, and you're always doing All Access or something.
Yeah.
Yesterday,
easy being me.
Andy and I really got into it in the trash talk.
Did you take my advice?
And start yelling at me immediately?
Yes.
Did he really?
Yes. Literally, he started yelling at me. And
no.
I'm like, okay, so this is going to go my way.
We went to the elevator together, and I said, this is what you need to do. Andy's going to say the question at the beginning, and then he's going to go to you. Just start screaming.
He did. I didn't exactly do that, though. He introduced it to me and turned to me. So I said my piece. Then he started his, and that's when I started yelling. I interrupted him and started yelling.
Well, I just thought he would throw you off by just started screaming.
He did a little.
At the beginning, and then you guys have to do it over.
Because I was going to ease into it, and he just, you know, hit the accelerator.
It was funny because we were over here. We did it on the field. We didn't go upstairs.
Why couldn't you?
I don't. They were lazy. They didn't want to go back upstairs.
They were up there.
I know, but they only had, it was a long story. They had one light because they had lent the other light to the other guys, and they were still doing their stand-up, so they had to wait. So they figured, we'll do the mail first, and then maybe by that time we'll have the second light. But they didn't want to go back upstairs.
So I sent Port Brittany up there to open the
suite
for nothing.
Yes, you did. Anyway, so
good to know.
So we're over here on the field.
It was supposed to be open.
And then
I know, but
Giardi and Curran were like across from us, and they were like, "Oh, we can take you guys. You know, let's go." And I said, "No, me and Andy will just team up on Curran, and then we'll, you know, you'll be nothing." And Giardi's Mr. Tough Guy, you know,
at 142 pounds, with his blue suede boots on or whatever the hell he was wearing. But yes, he did yell at me. He started the yelling.
What was the question?
Is this stretch as daunting now as you once thought it was?
Right. And I said it was, and he said it isn't.
And so I ended with, as always, Fred's against the Patriots or doesn't believe in the Patriots or something.
That's what he does.
I know.
That's what he does. He takes something that you didn't argue even close to, right. And that's where he turns to, you know. And
but
he
that's
thinks,
the last
And he
thing.
Thinks he wins with that.
Right. It will be the last thing people remember.
Well, no matter what, you can't get the last word.
It's right. the opposite of your Felger and Maz thing, where they lead with sunshine.com, and then you rip the team for an hour. People still think you're happy-go-lucky Paul Perillo, sunshine.com.
That's completely
you say, you know,
false.
Imagine how good they could be if they had better players.
Completely false. Well,
that's inaccurate.
Richard thinks that Zolak did start a game in 94-95 because Bledsoe had a minor injury.
No.
He did start a game. He didn't start the season.
He's definitely an answer to one of the players that has started a game.
He's one of the four quarterbacks who have started a game since 93. But
maybe they were tied with Green Bay at two. I don't know. I got to look at that note again.
And Brett says that Kurt Warner took over for Trent Green.
That would be before Brady. But that was 99.
That was before,
99.
Right.
That was 99.
Yeah. The last time it was Brady. And he said Patriots fans in California.
And Kurt Warner opened the season as the starting quarterback. So I'm not sure that. I mean, that in the spirit of it, that's true.
Oh, Trent Green
but
was
Trent
hurt.
Green got hurt in the preseason.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Gary from Ohio says he's going to the tavern on Saturday before the Colts game. Are you going to be there? Eric will be there. I'd love to meet you. And by the way, bold prediction for the game, Gronk has 175 yards and 3 touchdowns.
Oh, jeez. You know he should bring with you to attract some fans?
Who? Oh.
Jackie. Patriots Today should be there.
She doesn't have time for that.
Oh, that's true.
She could go.
Of course she could go.
Of course she could go.
Maybe
this is America. God damn it.
Maybe we'll do a tweet up. Actually, Eric, if you show up with her, then the girls are like, whoa, you know, he can attract somebody like that. And then.
Is he
then,
swimming in
all right, I got to go to the locker
then you,
room.
Then you make it clear. What are you doing? The locker room's not open.
Locker room's not even open.
It'll be open by the time
I get there. Why are you leaving?
Because you're making him uncomfortable.
Because you do this all the time.
I'm trying to help
you. No, you're not.
Why?
No, you're not.
It's always
you don't think that's helpful?
No, it's not helpful.
It's good strategy.
It's not helpful.
You use her as your wing person. Yeah. He's unbelievable.
It's
he,
not the worst idea I've heard.
No,
it's not the worst idea
isn't.
I've heard.
I'm not sure people are going to buy it.
Because guys that hang out with attractive women.
There could be people that don't know.
Are,
oh,
they become
know each
attractive.
Other. And they look and they're like, well, yeah.
But I think most people there are going to be Patriots fans who know that he's Eric from PFW and she's Jackie
not,
from
not
Patriots
Not necessarily.
Today. Plus, most people that are there are going to be guys.
That's probably true, too.
I have a hard time looking past that one.
Yeah,
this is so, part of the game, like shooting it into the
It's
right
going to be
hole.
A bunch of guys who know who she is and who why she's with you. No offense.
Exactly.
So you have to leave now?
Well, I actually do have to go to the locker room soon.
It's not open yet. It's 1:44.
Now he's
I was trying to back out of this.
Just sit down.
Just
relax. Plane. Just relax. It's okay. It's all right. Lazy Scott writes in.
Sorry.
Oh, do that some more. It's funny.
No.
You should have played that yesterday during our discussion.
Lazy Scott says not to hark back to the Bears, but their owner justified that stupid contract he signed his quarterback Cutler to as being elite because he had a winning record. I'm not sure why this bothers me so much, but I want to go off on an epic rant. Can't one of you do this for me since it's getting late in the show and I don't have the time?
Well, it is ridiculous to say because you have a winning record, you're elite. That is not the definition of elite.
Mark Sanchez has a winning record.
9-7. If you go 9-7 every year, you're an elite quarterback. That's stupid.
I believe
elite
Mark
is
Sanchez
12,
is 34, and 29 career.
And he's certainly not elite.
He's as far away from elite as you can get.
I mean, that is a ridiculous measurement of eliteness.
Right. Drew in Bowie, not quite the rant he was looking for, but a rant.
Well, I don't really feel passionate.
No,
everybody knows Cutler is a career disappointment who's not going to live up to his talent.
What's his contract?
If they cut him now, he walks away with $48 million.
And a case of beer.
Well, no, you know.
Cigarette.
That would never make it. He'd drink it before he walked away.
Drew and Bowie, on a neutral field, or certainly at Foxborough, the Patriots are the favorites over the Colts. Look at the difficulty even Manning has in Foxborough or Brady had in Denver last year. Those guys are the best because of the adjustments they make at the line. They are closer to normal in loud, hostile situations. The Patriots have gotten fat on home cooking. Let's hope they can adjust.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, because, I mean, if you go by the book, they're 2.5-point underdogs.
Yeah, that's so what he's saying, if they'd be favored.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it is interesting. If you think that a lot of their success comes on those adjustments they make at the line that require guys hearing them, I could see where it's a significant drop-off, relatively speaking, when they're on the road and it's noisy.
Oh, I thought his point was the opposite.
Takes away that part of their game.
I thought I thought his point was that on the road, it's not as big a difference for Brady because he's elite. whereas there's a bigger drop-off for others.
No, I think he said that even look at Manning in Foxborough or Brady in Denver. They become closer to normal.
His point was even the elite struggle a little bit on the road.
Right.
I don't think Manning struggled because of the crowd here. So.
I don't know.
No, I think it had more to do with the weather. But either way, it's not playing in your, you know, chosen environment.
Luke writes in, if our secondary can pick Luck off once, he's capable of throwing three more easily. 45 interceptions so far in his three-year career. I expect him to attack us in the pass-happy shotgun offense. My other question is, what position Air is going to play once the defense gets Jones and Salinga back? If it's the 4-3 scheme, is he our 4-3 outside linebacker?
Oh, Ayers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh.
Yes.
Yeah.
What do you think of Ayers so far, Paul?
I've been impressed that he was able to play as much as he did against Denver.
He's athletic.
I thought that was really impressive. I mean, what he's done physically, I haven't really seen a whole lot. But the fact that he played almost the entire game against Denver with a scheme that day that required a lot of different stuff, I thought was ridiculously impressive for a guy who's been here for 2 weeks.
Yeah, and he made a plays.
Yeah, I mean, the only play I can really recall is the fourth down set. Now, it was a huge play. The fourth down sack of Manning in that game was the only time I ever really remember seeing him. But I didn't see him chasing. I didn't see him trailing, you know, Hillman on a crossing route and being way out of play.
The two games, I meant, he's made a play.
Yeah, I haven't really seen him. You know, I mean, I know he was in it on a sack, but, you know, who wasn't that game, in the Chicago game? The Denver game, I was really, really impressed with from a mental standpoint. I don't know if I'm overrating that, but I just thought that a guy that had that little familiarity with the system to have been able to play as big a role at least being on the field that much, I thought that was really impressive.
Yemi in Texas says,
"Sorry, I didn't give you what you were looking for." There,
Paul, the Colts defense.
Did I miss something?
He's looking for me to trash him, I think.
Oh. The Colts.
What he's talking about?
It's okay. You guys can.
The Colts defense is better this year because Greg Toler is finally healthy. Toler and Vontae Davis can man up on the outside. This allows them to do a lot of blitzing. You have to wonder how much better their defense would be if Mathis didn't get injured.
Well, yes.
Yeah. I'm not willing to say, and he's right. That is what they've done. They've been able to get by with the outside guys manning up, and they blitz a lot and all that. I'm sorry.
I look forward to it.
I'm sorry if I'm not ready to say that Greg Toler is Darrell Revis. You know, I don't think that he's – I know he's a good player, and I know that Vontae Davis is a good player. I don't think either one of those guys is elite, and I think if you continue to do that to Brady, you're going to pay for it.
Jake in Southern Cal, where are the custom songs for you and Andy?
Yeah, we got hose.
Eric and Paul's songs were epic, and I can't wait to hear yours. Patriots prediction, Patriots win 45-27, and P.S. New Jersey Jets suck.
Eric's was definitely epic. I went to be you. I don't want to be you.
Let's see. Junior in Indy writes in. A lot of Indiana calls and emails today.
Yeah.
Good thing you added in emails. I'm not sure we got a single call from him.
I think we can have a good game running the ball, but at the same time, their linebacking core is so bad that I just want to throw all over them and score 50-plus points.
Yep.
And to Marcel, who's Marcel?
The guy from the Black Sea.
Oh, Gronk is our leading receiver with 49 receptions with 663 yards and 8 touchdowns. Without him, we wouldn't be where we're at today. Are you kidding me? The second leading receiver is Edelman. So you're telling me that without Gronk, we would just be as good as the first month of the season when Edelman was catching every pass from TB12? Gronk has done wonders for this offense and this team. I'm on his jock just like 99% of Patriots fans. He's a beast. Thanks, guys. And are you guys going to be in the town Saturday? If so, let me buy you some drinks at the Stadium Tavern. Eric and I will be there, and we'll take you up on that offer.
Now he's going with you.
Well, I'm certainly going. Never a question.
Oh.
At least you got somebody with big boobs standing next to you.
I can move mine, though.
No. You think you can.
Please don't.
And you shake your whole body to get, like, one little peck
movement.
Like
this. When it goes like this.
No, I've been practicing. It's all about practice.
Let's give us a little.
I can't do it under the shirt.
You just did it. You're such a fraud.
From doing his push-ups.
I can't do it.
And by the way. Some of you people are frauds. Not you. I'm not pointing to you. I'm pointing to
But you are pointing at me.
It's the royal you.
These were the people, some of them, who were down on Gronk. He's never going to be healthy. Let's trade him. Let's get rid of him. Can we cut him? You're all frauds. I never gave up on Gronk.
No, and you never will.
Exactly.
Right.
Oh, God. Loyalty just became a bad thing.
No matter what the evidence says, you'll never change your opinion.
You never gave up, but you were worried about his future in terms of injury.
Oh, yeah. How could you not be? I also predicted him to play 19 games this year and be dominant and be the best player on the team, and he is. And he's well on his way.
Don't
right?
Don't jinx him. Knock on wood.
No, I've been saying it all along. He's a machine. He's back to machine-like.
I hope so.
You know, he didn't need to take a year off.
So when he was machine-like originally, when he got hurt, that he didn't really get hurt. He wasn't a machine then.
Yeah, no.
Nothing to worry about. Nothing.
It's all growth. I mean, and this guy, he doesn't even know the half of it. What is he, second most touchdowns per game of any receiver in NFL history after 50 games? Only, who was the guy that you raved about? Some old coot? You got nothing for me? Remember that top 10 list? It was 8 running backs, Gronk, and another receiver.
Don Hutson?
I don't know, maybe.
I think that's who it was, yeah.
And you were like, yeah, he was great doing it.
Well, I mean, he was... John, he played
John
a million
Mackey.
Years ago. I never saw him play.
No,
he
not
played
John Mackey.
I think it was Hutson.
He played like 100 years ago, but he was like Babe Ruth. He like had
I know. That's 100 why I
touchdowns.
Count on you to tell me how he
played. Had 100 touchdowns in an era like the second guy had like 30.
Right.
Like he had like Babe Ruth had more home runs than entire teams.
Right.
You know, that's what made Don Hutson, but I couldn't tell you anything about him.
And Gronk has kind of ignited the massive numbers for touchdown catches for tight ends. Even though Gates and those guys caught a lot of passes.
That diminished it a lot?
Hell no. He does it better than all of them.
So everybody does it.
He does it better than... No, not everybody did it until he did it. Now everybody does it. Now Graham and Thomas and everybody does it.
Yeah.
They're all carrying his jock with me.
If everybody's doing it, a lot of people are doing it.
So it wasn't impressive that Brady throws for 4,000 or 5,000 yards or 50 touchdowns? Everybody's doing it now. Luck's going to do it. Manning's going to do it again.
I was joking about the Gronk, but you don't think that part is true? The fact that people throw for 5,000 yards now with somewhat regularity?
I still
hasn't
think it
diminished
was
it?
No, I don't think it diminished that season I watched from Tom Brady.
No, I thought
that was a phenomenally impressive season.
No, but the fact that Matthew Stafford then went out and threw for 5,000 yards doesn't make you say, well, maybe it's not quite the feat that we thought it was?
Not really, because the way he did it was different. He was doing it to get leads every week and blow people the bleep out of the water. Some of Stafford's are leads, some are comebacks, some are not leading to victory, cheap yards
when
you're
down
30.
And it's not cheap yards when you're throwing touchdown passes in 52-7 games?
No, that's how you got there. You got the lead.
Exactly.
More cheap yards are like
the
late when you're down 20.
Tack
it
on extra yards as opposed to fighting to win the game.
The other team's in prevent.
I don't get that.
Of course you don't. You diminish everything but Patriots.com.
You're trying to fight to win.
It diminishes everything they've ever done, Fred. It's unbelievable.
But it's more impressive to win by 40 in throw passes than it is to try to actually be in a game that's competitive?
Because I don't think
and get yards?
No, but I think a lot of Stafford's are when it's not even competitive, when he's still throwing in the fourth quarter
of
losses.
Team?
Every year?
No, but when he did it, I think they were 10-6 and they made the playoffs.
When did Lions blow anybody out?
Exactly.
No, that's my point.
They're always trying to fight
because he
the
wasn't
game,
so
as
dominant that he got up
35. Lead.
That's how dominant Brady was. He threw the ball to build these dominant leads.
Yeah, and it's easier to get yards these days.
And that was my only point.
But it doesn't diminish it in my eyes.
I was joking about.
I think Brady had a great 2007 season.
He
that to me is one of the greatest
in
ever.
In whatever era
he did,
you
it
are,
has
if you are the
do,
best of that era,
and
it's still pretty cool.
It has nothing to do with Stafford also threw 5,000
or any
of that
crap. I'll give you an example. And
the problem is
you want to turn it into an everything but Patriots. I think Peyton Manning was not as impressive last year as Brady was in 07. Because when Manning did it last year, it's not that out of place. Guys have done that. He happened to have the best milestones, but guys were in that neighborhood regularly now. They're getting 40-plus touchdown passes. They're getting 5,000 yards in seasons. When Brady did it, it wasn't commonplace.
Right.
And
well,
it was even
point.
More impressive when Marino did it.
And
but
my
I, but
point
I think
was
just,
Gronk
the,
and Brady
the
were
the accomplishment
firsts.
Is far less than I thought it was back then. That's all.
Yeah.
Oh, now,
mine isn't,
with the Gronk
first.
Thing, I was just joking about Gronk.
Gronk did it first.
And he's the best. No one approaches the level that he did it at.
Well, but they might.
No, and I might change my mind when that happens.
Doesn't Julius Thomas have 12 already?
Along that's
yeah, but
better.
It's not. I mean, he's got 30 catches.
No, but he's going to have.
See, I don't care about
what
just
Gronk
the touchdowns. It's everything that
16,
Gronk
17
does.
He had?
Yeah.
He's going to
he
likely
might break
the
that, touchdown, thing,
right?
But it won't be the same thing as what Gronk does.
Well, that's what I say, and you make fun of me.
No,
why don't you get off Gronk's jock?
That's what the emailer said.
Oh, everybody's hanging on to schlong.
Again,
no one said that.
No one said
except
that,
you.
But that's exactly what you think of all the time.
Have we discussed why he walks through the locker room naked this year?
I just assumed it was because you asked.
Is it the locker room?
No, but it's new. and most people don't. Most people don't.
No, almost none of them
No,
do.
I know, they don't.
And he has, and I think, made a concerted effort this year.
I do, too.
To have this least amount of clothes on at all times.
It's a little weird. You know what my theory is?
You feel uncomfortable?
No, and this
I
is going to
keeps people away. It works on me.
Well, it definitely works on me. But my theory is the other. I think he's a vain guy. I think he likes, you know, being big and fat. And as I told you guys, I think he's more shredded than he's ever been. I think he probably lost 3 to 5% body fat. And I think he's showing off. I think he's showing that I'm bleeping ripped and you can see everything and here it is.
Well, he did do that cover. Was it ESPN
right.
magazine?
Right. Yeah. And I think he likes to show off that I'm shredded. And I think he's showing it off
he
all the time
right.
now. Yeah. He knows that people are looking.
He knows you're looking.
if he doesn't know Andy's looking, then he has no self-awareness at all.
All right, one more call before we get to the playbook. Melvin's in Tennessee. Hey, Melvin.
Oh, we got to do picks.
Hey, what's going on, y'all? Quick kind of analysis of games. I don't know if anybody else feels like this when you watch a football game, but with me, like when we play the Colts or any team, like I get a real good kind of confident booster or kind of decline on that very first possession of the game offensively and defensively and coming out of the half. Like, I kind of watching the game, kind of even when I looked like the Vikings game, for instance, when the defense looked so bad coming out, I was like, wow, this is it. You know, the defense didn't come to play today. It's like a first initial idea of what I feel like the team is.
I know, but
you don't feel that way?
But no, because if you look, you know, like last week we had the opportunity to sit at home watch Red Zone, and you look at so many games that start one way, and then by the end, it's a completely different ending.
But conversely, you've had a lot of games that start looking like blowouts and end up blowouts.
Well, those, yeah.
I actually agree with
Melvin. I think it's modern NFL fandom.
I think in the Minnesota game is an outlier that he brought up because they let them go right down the field, and then they played a great defensive game
they
the rest of the way.
They went 30-7 or 30-something.
I think when the Patriots give up points early, it's usually one of those days they're going to give up 30-plus points. They usually start games good, and then the other team figures out what they're doing, and they wear them down. I think they generally have an edge in the preparation department, and they open up games knowing what the other team wants to do, and they play well, and then eventually the other team sort of figures it out and starts scoring. So when the other team scores early on them, I agree with Melvin. That sort of chips away at my confidence. It doesn't mean they're going to lose.
I don't think that matters this week.
It doesn't mean they're going to lose. No, if they get
a touchdown
in the first drive.
I mean, ideally I'd like a three and out, as the guy said. They have the best offense in football. If they drive down the field and score, okay, we're in the shootout we probably thought we were going
to
be in.
Right, but if they don't score early on, I start to say, oh, maybe they can keep him under 30.
But it's like, you know, I go back to that Chargers game against the Broncos. They had him 3 out of 4, you know, stops, and, the Broncos still scored 35
And
points.
That's how I look at Brady, Luck, Rodgers, Manning. You feel like, oh, you know, Manning is declined today. Yeah. He threw a couple early picks. You know what? He can score 30 in a quarter and a half. So until you're past, like, the early fourth quarter, I still think he can score 30.
Yeah, and I'm talking about the Patriots, not, like, the Chargers and the Broncos. I mean,
well, he wanted to talk about the best team
in football. I feel like the Patriots generally have an idea of how the game is going to go at the beginning of the game, and then it's up to the other team to adjust.
Slants and in cuts.
You know? So when they come out of the gate weak, then I really worry that the preparation was wrong and all of a sudden...
It's just an initial, like, reaction where it's just like, ooh, perfect example. Last year when the playoff game, we led through the interception, and we went up kind of early. Now, I knew they were going to have a little comeback, but I felt very confident still that we were going to win the game because we started the game fast. It's just about starting the game. Yep. It kind of, you know, you can all dictate the game. Of course, it could change.
And
you
know, certainly from an emotional standpoint, it does seem like the Patriots need to be fired up from the beginning.
And part of that is what we saw through the first month where they didn't play well early.
Melvin, I need you to hang up because I turned my computer off and I can't do
it. Okay. I'll talk to
y'all. All right. Thanks Melvin.
As the guy who keeps track of the broadcasting industry, John Rook, have you ever heard that where a host asked a caller to hang up because he had shut his computer
That's
off?
A first. That's a first. Excellently done, by
what
the
if he had said no?
Guy trying to dump a call
no,
and dump himself
hang up.
Repeatedly.
I'm going to stay here for
I'm
going to
keep
hour.
Talking. I have free reign.
Have you ever heard of a host turn his mic off instead of shut the call? You know, click the call off.
He's done that twice in the last, like, week.
Well done.
Yeah.
Well done. You've been
all
doing
right.
this how long?
John's here.
He's our friend.
I don't know.
Too long, apparently.
40 years now.
Marge was looking for you today, too.
Oh, yeah.
Marge was, oh, good. I'm glad.
Because she was talking about guys she thinks have the hots for her. And somebody said Tom Padula. That writer,
yeah.
She apparently Michael Felger. She once thought had the hots for, and I said, "Well, Fred, we've always thought had the hots."
Well, last
for
week she compared herself to Giselle. So,
really,
yeah. All right, John's here
bit
for the playbook. John, what do you got coming up?
Coming up, Philip Wilson will join us from the Colts Blitz website.
Covers What's his name, Phil Wilson?
Phil Wilson.
Wilson, Wilson. Okay.
You got a funny nickname Wilson. You're going to dub him
No,
with?
I knew a Phil Wilson. That's what
oh,
I
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. Philip Wilson is what okay. he goes
Did you
by.
Fight him?
He covered the Colts, though, for a number of years for the Indianapolis Star.
Okay.
And he'll be joining us in the playbook to kind of break down the Colts a bit, take a look at Mr. Luck. We'll also try to discuss amongst the players who are 3 years or less in the NFL, as Andrew Luck is and having such a great success thus far. Who are your favorite young players in the NFL?
Oh, that's a good one.
J.J. Watt. He's still 3 years. Is this his third year or fourth year? Might be his fourth.
I think it's,
I think
fourth
it's his
year.
Fourth.
Yeah. He's just my favorite player, fourth. Not named Gronk.
Could be.
All right.
We so know how you feel about Gronk.
That's coming up in the playbook. Get your list together for John. And then at 4 o'clock is the Bob Soucy Show. We'll be here tomorrow.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.